trying to copy a picture of a prosthetic arm inspired by Deus Ex, are coming next year. I'm trying to paste it into the Skype chat.
That is going to be awesome.
That almost makes me want to lose an arm.
You know, I had a little bit of...
As opposed to the foot, that is inevitable.
I'll just put the link in there. Oh, there it is.
I mean, I had a conversation with a friend if we get to a point where you could, like, replace your eyeball and see, like, you know, x-ray vision and infrared and stuff, like, would you just do it?
I'm ready for that, because glasses are bullshit. Look, I hate wearing glasses.
All right, but can you... Do you get to choose the mode, like, the Predator?
Oh, yeah, man. I would think it would be either be you think what you want it to be, or you have some sort of control apparatus where you can swap modes and things.
I gotta be able to look around in infrared from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also want to be able to see normally.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I want, like, a colorblind mode that makes me colorblind, just so I can see what that looks like.
Oh, yeah, that's bold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea.
That'd be cool. Like, give me all vision modes. Like, what does a spider see? Like, turn that on for a while. Let me see what a fly can see, you know? I mean, if you're gonna, you know, put some features on the thing.
Yeah. Make it. Yeah, do it right. Don't ship something half done.
Speaking of video games.
Yeah. So, welcome to the Shodcast. This is episode 2121, the far-flung future. This is...
Is that a rush? Rush? No, 2112 is the rush. Never mind.
Yeah, 2121 is the song, like, it's the year 2121. or something. I don't know.
Is that a Scott Walker song? No. It could be.
Yes.
It could be. If it's not, it should be. He should write one.
I think maybe... I want to say Love and Spoonful, but that's not right. But
can 2121 be like a Harrison Bergeron type future?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
It can be whatever we make it. The future is what we make it. That's the real message of this podcast, is that the future is what you make it.
You going to run for president on the Harrison Bergeron platform?
Yes. Bring everyone down to my level.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if it's your level, I'm good with that, but you don't want some chump.
No.
You know. So I do have a buddy of mine who's in Scotland, a guy named Duncan McLeish that I do a podcast with. And he often asks me what the hell is going on in this country.
Yeah.
And I don't have a great explanation for it.
I don't know.
So,
yeah, it's spectacle. It has to be observed.
Yeah. And I may have quoted this on the show before, but it's the George Carlin line of, when you're born into this world, you get tickets to the circus. When you're born in the United States, you get front row seats.
Oh, yeah. Look, all I'm saying is, it ain't over till the FBI says it's over, guys, okay?
I intentionally have stopped watching news.
Oh yeah.
Until the initial debates, because first of all, I don't care. You know, a wise man once said that the United States is like a semi truck, and every 4 years we vote what ornament goes on the hood. That no single president, no single individual can steer this country one direction or the other with permanent results. So I take some solace in that.
It's true.
But also, I don't want to be angry all the time, and watching the news makes me angry.
Yeah. So angry.
It's like the internet chat form has spilled over onto television. Like, it just used to be really bad and negative on the internet. Now it's just everywhere, because that's what sells, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is kind of a YouTube comment in a suit.
Yeah. Like, you can fit 5 or 10 of them in a 30-second thing. Yeah.
Ugh, it's terrible. All right, but we have good things to talk about, because it's June now.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Is summer. Yeah, it's beautiful here in lovely Nashville, Tennessee. Justin, you can back me up on this.
I can.
Beautiful day today.
It's about to get real hot. All these tourists that are coming into town are going to turn, like, red like lobsters. It's going to be great.
What one of the things Tennessee is known for is the fresh Nashville lobsters.
Yes. That Cumberland River lobster.
Yeah, it's speaking of the Simpsons, it's kind of like blinky.
That's an Oak Park irradiated fucking mud bug that just got big. That's no lobster, man.
A mud bug. That's fucking... I always like that term. Mud bug.
Nashville lobsters at the Cumberland River, man.
Yeah.
The diarrhea.
Oh,
yeah, we got a little bit of a problem with that.
You're lucky if all you're pulling away from that is diarrhea.
Yeah, there's something in that river, man.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, nobody ever swims in it, and nobody ever talks about it. It's like the big river in every city, though. They're just like, don't
I know some people who kayaked down it, and I was like, how you feeling? How's your skin doing after that?
Yeah.
Was all your hair still on you?
At some point, it's going to catch fire like the Cuyahoga.
That was so great. Nothing like when a body of water catches on fire.
Yeah. You know that's clean living.
That's unbeatable. You cannot top that.
Yes. And listeners, that is true. You can look that up in the history books.
Oh, yeah.
The Cuyahoga River in Ohio literally caught on fire for several days, I want to say.
Yeah.
Might have even been longer than that. Might have been weeks.
I don't remember.
Yeah. So, yeah. Drink up, Johnny.
But, speaking of Carlin, another one of his great jokes was about, you never hear anybody say, oh, welcome to our town. Why don't you enjoy a glass of our clean, sparkling local water?
Yeah.
Nobody ever says that to you.
No, because it's all filthy and polluted.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to keep things positive.
We're drinking our own piss, Bo. We're drinking our own piss, that's what I'm saying.
We're water-worlding it up. Not only is it June and a beautiful summertime, it is the week before E3, but I almost feel like E3 kind of doesn't matter because, as we will discuss on the news, a lot of the big information, one presumes there could be some surprises in there, but a lot of E3 stuff has leaked, and some things that weren't even supposed to happen at E3 have leaked, maybe prompting them to show up at E3.
Yeah. I try not to think, because we're not being negative anymore, I try not to think that it's all just planned hype, you know, kind of stoking the fires. Hey, let's get people excited about E3, let's do some, oh my god, that was leaked, we totally weren't expecting people to know about that. Like, I try not to.
Yeah, but you gotta think some of the Xbox hardware stuff and that kind of thing, that feels like
it kind of happens every year. So I'm trying to sift through, like, but the Xbox shit, yeah, that's pretty big news. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into all that. Before we get into news, as we are wont to do around here on the Shodcast, we're going to discuss some games, and we're going to throw away all pretense in the interest of being both honest and direct and optimistic. We are going to... once and for all say, Justin, you are our first guy to always talk about the video games you are playing. Not tonight. John, what have you been playing?
Oh, well.
Wait. I don't know what to do with my hands now.
I don't think that's true.
Just wait. It's all about patience.
All right, John, you wasted your time. Justin, what have you been playing? Son of a bitch.
No, I'm not going. Now it feels weird.
I played a bunch of Doom.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I think we all played a bunch of Doom.
I believe on the last episode, we were all talking about, like, hey, that actually looks really good. We should all buy that. And we all did. And it's it's really awesome.
It's one of the best games I've played in a while.
Yeah, like, it's great.
It's just nonstop fun.
I'm having the exact same amount of fun I had with it as I did with the Wolfenstein New Order. I really love that game. This one totally feels just like that. It is just a super fun shooter. The guns are awesome. I was playing last night, and I maxed out. I got the mastery for the shotgun, and that makes it so when you use the explosive round mod on the shotgun, when you get a direct hit with it, it shoots out cluster bombs. So you just nail some guy right in the chest with a an explosive fired out of the grenade launcher on the shotgun, and he just explodes into mush, and then all these other bombs go popping out and blow up all the guys around him. It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
So good.
And we tried out some of the snap map stuff.
Yeah.
Finally, which yeah,
that was cool,
although
man.
Although kind of buggy, we both had instances where we had pretty hard lockups playing this snap map.
I had to reboot that first time. So
yeah. And I did on the last one we tried out. Okay. But, that's still pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, while it was working, that was fun. We downloaded a what was it? The description. Me and my little bro made this.
Yeah. This is something me and my little bro made. And it was just a series of corridors with like weapon or ammo,
weapons,
and armor.
Where you spawn, there was like every weapon you could possibly want to choose from. You could carry whatever weapon you wanted. And the shotgun, was that like a default secondary? I think it was. So like I picked up a chain gun. And that was super fun. But then you just ran through, and they just placed enemies here and there throughout the level. And it was just totally built. It was just a big, long left turn, run for a big, long hallway, kill a bunch of guys, turn again, run some more, open a door. It was very simple, but it was still super fun because you were just playing Doom. So that has a lot of potential. I didn't put it in the news, but Justin, you sent out that video where somebody built a fucking MOBA.
Yeah.
In the Doom snap map system. It's unbelievable. Listeners should Google this and watch the video on YouTube. When it cuts to the background and you see all the programming and everything, all the lines kind of leading all around, it reminded me of Redstone in Minecraft. And that was bonkers. Like, there's a ton of logic that you can put in those maps. It's really cool.
Yeah, we kind of froze up on the Minecraft emulator.
That's right, I forgot about that.
But I'm real curious to see what that thing looks like. But yeah. It like we tried the Music Maker. We tried a couple of levels that were, you know, just straight up combat levels. But I like to pepper in a little weirdness. And yeah, I mean, that thing seems real capable of some interesting utilities. And yeah.
I actually haven't even tried the just regular multiplayer yet. I bet it's fine. I think that game's at its best when I'm shooting demons in the face.
Yes.
And I don't know. It could be fun. Like once I realized that you could play co-op, was it up to four players on SnapMap? That was a huge selling point for me. That, and I mean, just the two of us the other night was fun as hell. So, yeah. I mean, I'm going to enjoy the co-op version of that more than I would have just like a deathmatch, I think. So it's cool. And then the fucking single player, Jesus Christ. So goddamn good. I just got to, I think I'm halfway through right now. I just got to hell last night, and that's awesome.
Wait, you just got to hell for the first time?
Yeah, like I'm only like six missions into it or five missions into it. Yeah, I played the Foundry level four times.
Okay.
So awesome.
I finally completed the campaign before I went on vacation last week.
Oh, nice. Wow. Yeah.
I was just powering through it. It just sucked me in, and it's paced in such a way that I never got tired of playing it. There were the perfect amount of stretches of downtime between a lot of the action and a lot of the like arena type moments.
Yeah.
And just like it's one of those games where like I just look down and I've been playing this for like 2 or 3 hours. And that really hasn't happened in a very, very long time. Maybe a little bit with some of the virtual reality stuff, but you kind of get tired after, like in room scale, you're kind of moving around and stuff. You know, your body starts to get tired. Yeah. You kind of are like, okay, I need to take like a little 15 or 20 minute break.
Yeah, take a doom break.
Doom break.
Yep. It's the campaign is phenomenal. It is exactly that. Like you fight yourself, you know, fight through a section. And then you can run around and look for secrets if you want, or if you don't, you just run towards the waypoint and push on, you know, get back into the shit. It's perfect. I love that you don't have to reload. Like you just shoot through an entire clip, and then it reloads.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Or, I mean, it doesn't even reload. If you just run out of bullets, it's just out of bullets until you find more ammo for it. That's brilliant. It's so simple. And then you just have, all right, well, my fucking shotgun's empty, so I guess I'm switching over to the assault rifle, you know. I think that's a really cool way to handle guns.
There are a lot of really smart, small decisions made in that game to make it feel so wantonly stupid. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a negative context. It's a big dumb shooter, but it's also incredibly polished and super fun, and the sound is great, and it feels good. And yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that, you know, aims at a very specific target and just nails it.
Yeah.
You know?
Soundtrack is on point.
Jesus Christ, is it ever? When the very beginning of the game, I was watching you stream it, Bo, the very first time you were playing it, and you start off in kind of the beginning area that's inside, and you walk out onto the surface of Mars, and like the elevator doors open, and the music goes, and then your shotgun goes right in time with the music.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh my
pretty
God. Good.
Yeah, that was real fun. In particular, I thought it was funny when after that, it's just once you go outside for the first time, and I was kind of looping around all those canyons and whatnot. And at the end of one skirmish, you had reminded me, like, you were down to about 3 health at a certain point.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I didn't care.
Yeah, fight through that shit. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not over until I'm dead.
Yeah, until I see a you're dead screen, I am still ripping fools in half to collect their sweet, sweet nectar of health.
Yep. I love that it's, like, I'm a big, you know, waist-high, third-person cover shooter guy. Like, I love those games. I really like The Division. I like Splinter Cell. I love anything that's, you know, got that feel. But the fact that in Doom, like, you just don't take cover. Like, you'll hide behind a wall, you know, and kind of time out a shot that somebody's thrown at you or something. But most of the time, you're just running full speed and fucking guys up. It's great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Running and jumping. Once you get the double jump, it's over. Like, I just run head on into dudes shooting rockets and then double jump over them.
Yep. Yep.
So
and
much
it,
fun.
And if they get stunned, like, you can do the glory kill from the air where you come down on top of them. Fucking great. Oh my God. And that's really neat. The variety of those glory kills is really cool. When you shoot the guy and he's stunned and it gets a little glow, if you like it depends. It's contextual. If you run up on him from the front, he'll do a certain kill. If you run up on him from behind, like, he'll snap their neck. I've had ones where I was close to a wall and he just kind of shoves them into the wall and then just knees their fucking skull into soup against the, you know, the steel wall. There's just tons of great kills in there. It's really cool.
Yeah, I had one I hadn't seen before last night when we were on this one of the staircases, and
it depends. Like, if you're whether you're going upstairs, like you have the low ground or the high ground, like it'll do different versions of it for the, like, you'll kick your if they have the high ground. I've seen one where you like kick their legs out from underneath them and then punch them in the face as they're kind of falling back, and that smashes them into the ground so hard like their head explodes.
So yeah, the thing that they did that's real smart about those glory kills, aside from the fact that they're incredibly rad, is that there is such variety and it's so quick.
Yeah.
So it doesn't ever feel like it's pausing gameplay to do this animation. It's just like, okay, I'm going to rip my way through this guy and then immediately jump to the guy behind him. And if you can chain some of those glory kills too, that's incredibly fun.
Yeah. Or if you've kind of been fighting a whole group all at once and you've got them all kind of, you know, weakened a little bit, and then you just get a string of shots where you're, you know, headshotting them and just taking them out one right after the other. It does that really well. I've been playing with controller on PC. Did you play with mouse and keyboard, Justin?
That's the only way I play.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I've been sitting back and just enjoying the shit out of myself with a controller. Like, granted, it's not the fastest, most accurate way to play it, but they did a really fucking good job of making it work. Like, there's no auto aim, but it just feels right. Like, they must have playtested the shit out of it, just gotten tons of people to try it, and just kind of, you know, gone with the best possible feedback on it. It works great.
I watched you streaming it yesterday just for a minute.
Yeah.
I commented, could you please play better? Because I watched you die.
Yeah, I don't read the comments.
You were like backing away from a demon and just fell off the side of a...
Yeah, I remember that. Yep, that sucks. Yeah, that was my first time in that room.
Yeah, that happened to me so many times where you just like get caught up and you're like, oh crap, I'm dead.
Yep, that was a really cool level. Like, there's when I first walked through that door and you see that big, it's like a laser driller. It's the energy source where they're harvesting it from hell, and it looks so fucking cool. That whole scene where you're climbing up that big thing is just so epic. It's got great environments in it. It's so good.
They do a really good job of using color to represent where you need to go. Like all the ledges have those sort of green lights on them or have some sort of bright, you know, ledge coloring to them. So if you're ever really stuck, all you really have to do is kind of slowly do a 360 and kind of look around. You're like, oh, there's like this green light over there. Oh, that's probably where I should go.
Yeah. And even in some of the hell levels, it's where that doesn't kind of aesthetically fit. They just make things look obviously climbable. Yeah. Like they're a little more flat on top. Like if you're looking at rocks or something, it's pretty obvious because it's like this organic shape that has a very flat top on it. You're like, oh, I can totally get up there. So it's, they were working on this game for a while, and apparently they were spending all that time working on making it awesome. So
yeah, seemed to, especially after the multiplayer debacle. And people kind of shitting on this game a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it came out and just turned it around. Like, everybody's like, nope, sorry.
Yeah. Much like the protagonist of Doom himself, the game came out and just grabbed people by the skull and twisted it around. It's, yeah, I had such low expectations for this game. And I, honestly, I wasn't interested in it at all until I started seeing some of that campaign playthrough, and then, it becomes obvious.
Even though you've been through it, it's still replayable. Like I said, I did that Foundry level 4 times from beginning to end, and I just, like, it was such a cool, I just liked the map so much that I thought, I'm just going to go get all the secrets on this one. I just went everywhere and, ranked up some bunch of shit, finding extra tokens and upgrades, shit that I hadn't before, so it's worth it to go back and replay it, and it's also, they're just so fun, man. I don't know. This is like game of the year contestant for me. So
it'll be interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think it's on the list.
Yep,
definitely on the list right now.
Yep. I also played the new map for Hitman, the Marrakesh map, and that's got a crazy amount of people on it. There are thousands of NPCs walking around on that map. And,
I watched a video of that, and it is crazy.
It's incredible looking. I mean, and they're all obviously doing like these little loops, but I was just farting around with it. I was doing something else in the basement, and I was playing the game, and I had to get up and take care of a bunch of shit. And I just left it looking into the crowd in the big bazaar, and there's just thousands of people walking around, and you can see that it's not just people like standing around in groups. If you just look at one point for a while, like a guy will walk up and then this girl will walk up and they're all kind of coming in at different angles. And you can see that there's an artificial intelligence operating underneath these people because they kind of look around and then they'll turn their body like 45 degrees and they'll take a little step forward and then their, you know, path is blocked by another person. So they never bump into each other. They always stop. They can like, the people can sense each other and you can see it in the programming. And then when they kind of self-correct, and eventually if something like traffic bottlenecks, it corrects itself and the people will move and different people will walk up. There was only one spot I found where one woman was just standing in place and was not moving, and she was facing a wall and there was like a barrel, and I think like the routine that was operating underneath that just would not allow her to turn either direction to check if her path was clear.
In fairness, you go to any large gathering of people, you're going to find a crazy person just staring at the wall.
It's true. This is true.
That could be just the that particular NPC.
That'll be Nashville this weekend, right?
Yes. Even though there aren't that many walls at Bonnaroo, there will be some imaginary ones built up for many people.
And they're,
Bonnaroo's this weekend, too.
Yeah.
There'll be some tearing down of walls, too, man.
Maybe Mark will tear some walls down for us.
Deep emotional walls.
Yeah, Mark had an interesting graphics card query recently.
Yeah, that was an interesting point. It was the, I forget the designation, the AMD.
The 480X, which is a $200 graphics card that they're saying in a Crossfire configuration, which was also a secret plan to kill Hitler.
That's right.
That it outperforms the NVIDIA 1080, which is the new high-end NVIDIA card.
They're just going to up the graphics so much that Hitler just, he'd have to bow before the beauty and just not be such a dick anymore.
That was good. it was either going to be called Crossfire Configuration, or it was just going to be called Hey Man, Chill Out.
Come on.
Operation Hey Man, Chill Out. Come on, be a guy.
Adolf,
be a guy.
It's me, all right?
It's... Hey. It's okay.
I will be very interested to see if NVIDIA has a response to that, because a price point like that is going to sell a lot of graphics cards.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the actual spec sheet on that card looks like, though.
Yeah.
Because with them saying, like, well, you... To get to a 1080 level, you're running two graphics cards in Crossfire, which, given the state of SLI and Crossfire, yeah. Like, sometimes it works, sometimes they don't work so good. I still think that 1070 is kind of the card to beat right now. That thing just, you know, it's $350 and or $380 and is a hair less powerful than the 1080.
Yeah.
So, that seems to me like the card to get.
There's a really good website for anybody who's a PC enthusiast. You should go to Passmark. I believe it's just passmark.com. And they have, like, nice little bar graphs of 3D tests that they've run on cards. They do CPU speeds. I think they actually have... What's the name of the benchmarking tool on Steam? I think that's actually...
3D Mark,
yeah. I think that's actually their software. Yeah. But they post all the results on their website. So if you're like, this is how when I was building my new computer, I was like, man, I don't fucking know which video card I really want. And it turns out it's the 980 Ti, 6 GB. But...
yeah.
but I learned that it's from a nice that website.
Card. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird because I've got a 980. I don't really have a reason to upgrade, but part of me wants to anyway.
Yeah, it's a sickness.
Yeah, it's like I could sell that 980 and put in a, you know, a 1070
and
or
I've,
1080.
I've done that with every, like, the last two or three video cards I've had. I sold the old one on eBay and at the time made like $150 on it. So you can, it's basically like a coupon for your new card to sell your old card. So.
Yeah.
PCs, you can't do that with a fucking console. They gotta figure that shit out.
Can you? Ooh, we'll get to that later.
We should see.
Alright, what else you been playing? I'm sorry, I distracted us all.
Beyond that, I'll just talk a little bit more about the Hitman level. It's not as strong as the last map, the Italian villa and city with the beach and the monastery and all that shit. That was a very well thought out Hitman level. The assassinations on this one are not super interesting levels. One of them is it's the Swedish consulate, and you have to go in and kill this banker who's hiding out there who stole like $7 billion from the country. And then he has like the general of the army. He's in Marrakesh. The general of the army in Marrakesh is totally corrupt and on the hook for this guy, and he is like enforcing martial law in the streets. So there's this giant protest occurring out in front of the Swedish embassy. So you walk through that giant open market with all those thousands of people, and then you walk into this courtyard in front of the embassy, and there's, you know, 300-400 protesters standing in front of there, and there's smoke from, you know, like tear gas and shit going off, and you can see the guy like standing in the embassy looking out the window, like your assassination target is, you know, 100 feet away from you behind glass, but there's just, you know, hundreds of people standing around that would be witnesses, so you gotta figure out how to sneak in there. It's fun, but it's just not quite as deep as the previous map. I'd say it's on par with the Paris map, which was the first one that they released. But this one, like, they're really kind of technically showing off with it, I think, with all these people. Like, look at what this engine can do. And because of that, they kind of had to pare back some of the rest of the mission. But it's cool. It's got the same charm that the Murder of Crows episode did when you're in New Orleans. I believe that was Blood Money as well.
Yeah.
Where you walk out into the street. And that one was just like a straight up grid of people just kind of walking through each other, like the artificial intelligence. Was, you know, obviously not nearly where it is on this map, but it's kind of cool because that was a very linear level as well, but it was still fun. So I like that they're still kind of drawing from that same bucket there. Here's a Hitman-ass Hitman level that's just super fun and very intricate and pick apart, and it's contained. And then here's this big, wide open space that's just got like kind of the vista and the. It's just fun to kind of walk around in that market because it just looks so goddamn cool. So it's good. They're still killing it with this game. It's top notch, Hitman.
Yeah, it seems really, really well put together.
It's fun.
Like another,
they've got all these cool options in there, like elusive targets where you'll get an email or it'll pop up as an in-game alert that there's an elusive target and it's in. Like they did the one in Sapienza, and it's that target is only available for 2 weeks to kill. So,
and you just have one shot at
and
it,
you have
right?
One or, shot yeah. at it. If, yeah, you start the game and you go, and if you fuck it up, if you die while you're trying to do that, you don't get to try it again. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool. So,
and you get like it's what kind of cosmetic gear for getting that done. Yeah, just kind of free DLC stuff, which is really smart.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kind of like how video games used to be. You go find a secret, and you're rewarded with something in the game.
Yeah. Give me that. Doom and Hitman. Everybody's going back to old school. I like it. That's hilarious. I mean, like, our conversations were just covered with Destiny and, you know, all this kind of new generation stuff, and here we are talking about fucking Doom and Hitman.
And honestly, come into the year, you're probably going to hear me talk a little bit about Tomb Raider and Ratchet and Clank, too.
Yeah, it's wild.
You know?
Yeah, what's old is new, man. Like it. Other than that, I after our conversation the other night, Bo, I did reinstall Out There Omega Edition on my phone and fired it up again. That was previously my toiletry of the week, so I'm just going to say that it is still good, but it's still really, really fucking hard.
Yeah, I have not made that jump yet, no pun intended, because I'm still on that FTL.
The FTL tip?
Oh, man.
Anyway, on an FTL? Well,
yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay, because I love that game.
We'll talk about it
we'll
in
get
a minute.
There.
Actually, fuck it, we'll talk about it right now. Okay. So, I got... recently, I've been watching a few different game streams just to, you know, kind of see what people are doing and what's interesting and what I might want to bring to the table, so to speak. And the Red Letter Media guys do a lot of streaming. And one of the games that they stream a bunch is FTL. So I got kind of weirdly obsessed with watching FTL runs on Twitch and YouTube, and which led to me playing a bunch of FTL to kind of see some of the stuff that was later in the game that I'd never put enough time into FTL to get into like the final boss and stuff like that. And then that's all changed. I've been playing a lot of FTL, kind of Sunday afternoon. I probably played for like 3.5 hours, just run after run of, FTL. And for listeners who aren't aware what that game is, it's, short for Faster Than Light. It's kind of a roguelike spaceship simulator where you're jumping from sector to sector, and each sector contains a surprise. Sometimes it's nothing, sometimes it's an enemy ship, sometimes it's a friendly ship, sometimes it's a store, blah blah blah. And basically it's just a big fuck you simulator because about one out of every three battles something will happen that just makes everything go cockeyed for the rest of your run. And you learn some lessons along the way. Like I learned you can't teleport your people, your crew, onto a drone ship because it has no air.
by can't, you mean you can, but it's not a good idea.
Yeah, you absolutely can. I can prove that.
I've done studies.
I have empirical evidence. Yeah, I've lost a crew member or two that way.
I've vented a room on my ship that was on fire that had one of my own crew members in it on accident.
Yeah, somehow I feel like that's
more that
understandable.
A lot.
Yeah, like just like
sometimes hey, it's like, all right, the ship is on fire. And this dude's not that great anyway.
Right. How about you try to put out the fire while not breathing? Yeah, see how that works for you.
It's basically the Oregon Trail in space.
Yeah.
But you're always being chased by the bad guys.
Yeah, and that's the other mechanic in FTL, which is real fun, is that you're being pursued by the rebel fleet, and every turn, or every time you jump, the rebel fleet inches forward towards you, but you're jumping from sector to sector across the map to get to the exit of that sector. And, that the whole thing is a sector, and you're jumping kind of star system to star system.
You don't have time to visit every system.
No. And in fact, sometimes it's to your benefit not to. I mean, like, yeah. Collecting scrap is kind of the currency, and occasionally you can collect crew members and stuff. But if you go out of your way to engage in battles when you don't necessarily need to, you can pay a pretty high cost for that. So, yeah, it's a crazy fun game, and I love the strategy of it, and, you know, started unlocking other ships and stuff finally, and that's real fun to try different runs with different ship configurations and find out what weapons you like and stuff.
I love that there is a open all doors button.
comes in.
Have you ever done the move where you beam yourself onto the enemy's ship? And they are on your ship, and you open all the doors, flush them out, and suffocate them, and then you beam back to your own ship. Like, you beam out for the express purpose of opening all of the airlocks and doors on your ship just to get the enemy the fuck out of there.
I haven't done that, but that sounds great.
Yeah,
and I'll try that. For whatever weird reason, it's rare for me to have the teleporter.
Yeah, that's hard to get.
Yeah. So when I have it, I just recently got my head around like how to use that effectively, and which is to set a room on fire and then teleport two of those rock dudes into there because they're not harmed by fire.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes.
That can cause problems for the enemy.
Crew selection is a very, you have to really think about what you're doing with like the people you pick up and stuff. I always liked picking up just like the weirdest, you know, rock dude, or, you know, just random aliens, because they all have some weird special attribute to them that just like a normal regular like human player doesn't really have.
Yeah, in fact, in the one of the things I really like about FTL is the player description for humans is your average human, not very interesting or fun, something to that effect. And I'm like, yeah, I like the fact that the game is kind of pushing you towards you should play with other races because you're going to have a better time.
Yeah.
Humans are tough.
FTL reminded me of something else that I did play. Dead Star on PS4.
Yeah.
That was okay. It was the free download for the PS Plus a few months ago. But it's interesting. It's a top-down like FTL is. You're flying. It's a twin-stick shooter. But there's like an upgrade. So it's kind of, the comparison is that it's like a Geometry Wars and a MOBA mixed together, kind of. But it's a top-down view, and it's got that cool aspect to it where, like, you're looking at a space station from the top down, and it's kind of like a needle-shaped space station, and it goes, you know, down into the background. But as you move away, like, it gives you the perspective where you can see more of it. You know, and there's like planets sliding around in the background, so it's got a nice depth to it, even though it's top down. You're cruising around as your little twin stick shooter, and it's multiplayer online, and it's like a hexagon based map, and within each hexagon is one of these, needle shaped command centers, I think they call them. And the object is to go into each sector and capture your enemies, and when you have blown up all the ones that are on adjacent tiles to their home base, the shield on their home base drops, and you can move in and blow up their home base, and that's how you obtain a win in the game. While you're doing that, there's like all these big asteroids and shit floating around, and they're all 3D and super awesome looking, but you can go and you can blow those up, and some of them, they kind of glow with different colors, and you can mine the asteroids, and you bring that shit back to your bases and your outposts, and you can upgrade the guns on your outposts so that when they're getting attacked, they can better defend themselves. So that's kind of where the MOBA stuff starts to come in. There's like this upgrade system while you're playing a match. And then when you get to the end of the match and you lose, you start a new game and you start over from scratch. You have no upgrades or anything. You have to build those up every game. And it's pretty cool. There's like 20 different ships you can choose from. They all have different weapons, little missiles. You can upgrade the weapons on your ship as well. So like you can get missiles, but then you can get, you know, upgrade it to 2 missiles and then 4 missiles and then like heat seeking missiles, or one that it shoots out 1 missile. And when it hits a target or when it explodes, it shoots out 2 missiles after that. So it's got like a cluster bomb thing to it. So, and it just keeps getting deeper. All the different ships have different weapons. Some of them are really good at mining. They have larger cargo, so you can sit out and mine asteroids for a little bit longer, which only takes maybe, I don't know, like 15 seconds for a really large asteroid to break it up into the little collectibles. But you can be out there longer doing that and taking stuff back, and like you can play the role where I'm just going to go upgrade all the outposts. I'm not really going to engage in combat, but if I have to, I have like a machine gun that I can upgrade, like a big turret. It's really cool. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I haven't dived into that very deeply, but I did download it and I played it for a second while I was waiting for something else to download.
My almost 6-year-old son actually went through the tutorials and taught me how to play it. Like it's complicated. So
the student becomes the master.
Yeah, it's all complicated, right. But he's like, Dad, can I play this game? And I'm like, I don't know if that one's appropriate for you. Let me check it out. And I didn't know what the hell it was about. And we opened it up together one day and it's just like, oh, well, this kind of looks like Geometry Wars. And I said, yeah, you can play this. There's, you know, nothing horrible, gory going on, or, you know, tons of swearing or whatever.
No sexy times.
No sexy times. There's no Mass Effect, you know, orgies going on. But yeah, so he played the tutorial and he was like, he would just kind of ask me questions like, well, what does this mean? And I would like read a menu, you know, kind of explain it to him. I think, oh, well, that means that you can do this kind of gun. And I would see him playing and like he would be popping up a radial wheel for choosing your guns and not realizing that he could change his weapons during the game. I'm like, oh, you can change your weapon there. And then he'd come back to me a couple hours later. This was like Sunday. We were just playing games all day together. Sarah went out shopping and we were just hanging out. And I'd walk into the kitchen to make some lunch and he would be like, oh, look at this. And he'd show me like 5 new things that he had discovered you could do. So it's very well laid out. The controls and all the upgrades and everything are done really well. Easy to pick up. And it's fun. You know, you can get on there and do multiplayer. I recommend muting voice comms from other players.
Oh, always, always.
A dog that won't stop barking in the background. Turn off your fucking mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Other people are the worst. Always, always have been.
That's the rule.
Hell is other people.
Yep. Yeah. But that is all I have played. But that's a fun one. It's definitely, I mean, if you picked it up on the free and you haven't tried it out yet, it's certainly worth looking into.
All right. Jean-Paul Sartre. you know, I mean, if you're going to quote No Exit.
All right.
What have you been playing, sir?
Obviously Doom. You know, if you're not playing that and you played Doom and when you grew up, you're doing something wrong right now.
Your life has gone completely sideways and you need to course correct hard.
You just need to go sit down and spend the 10, 12 hours to play through the campaign and just get it over with.
Focus on Doom.
Yeah. Past that, some more VR stuff. So this past couple weeks, we had a couple new things come out, which were pretty cool. There's Pool Nation VR. So it is a billiards game where you sort of have your typical, you know, pool hall sports bar with, I think it's four different pool tables. You've got multiplayer, so you can, you know, hop in and just play pool with your friends. The mechanics of it are pretty cool. One thing that, you know, you don't get is you lean a lot on a pool table when you're playing. And so the way they do that in this game is you have two controllers, and when you get your shot lined up, you hold the trigger on whichever controller is holding the front end of the pool cue, and that locks the pool cue at that position.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then you're just using your other hand to, you know, to actually hit. And
you so don't at, have, that, at that point, once you've locked the front end of the Q-Dunk, can you still move the back around if you wanted to?
So, yeah. So, once you have that locked down, you can then, on the other one, if you kind of need to reposition, you hold, there's grip buttons on the side. I think it's the grip buttons, yeah.
Okay.
You hold those down, and it lets you do some more adjustment. So, you do have the ability to do that, which is cool.
You can put spin on it and jump it or whatever. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Some people have done some pretty wild stuff just because it's VR and, you know, the physics can get a little funky. Like, people are taking the triangles, you know, to where you line the balls up before the game, and people were holding, like, 3 and 4 of them up, and people were, like, shooting balls through those. Yeah, so, like, I imagine there will be a slew of YouTube videos of people just doing crazy trick shots at some point, which is going to be really cool.
Billiards is always a video game I wanted to be better.
Like, yes.
There's plenty of... There's some good ones. Like, Data East made a really good one for Nintendo way back in the day. But Billiards is like... I mean, it's just purely a physics game. So it should be, like, this perfect match for video games, but I think VR is, like, really the only way you could actually kind of pull it off.
Yeah, I tried that. I don't know if it was Pool Nation, but the Xbox One...
Yeah, that was the one that just came out a while ago.
Yeah, that thing's a real piece of garbage. It's just the load times are interminable. It's
like, awful. Like the old NES version had, I mean, it was doing the exact same thing. It had a top-down view of the table, and you would move a little dotted line around, and that was the direction your ball was going to go, and then you would lock that in, and then it had a little window down at the bottom that had a picture of the cue ball, and you could move your cursor around on the cue ball, you know, lower it, whatever. And you could change the height of your cue, change the height of the back of the cue, and then you had like a power meter. So they were doing all the same things that you're doing, but it was just not in 3D. Like, people have been trying to perfect that in a video game for a long time.
I think these guys have really, really got it down, and the environment they put you in, there are side games, so there's darts as well, nice. And their intention is to add more stuff like that, so you should theoretically be able to, you know, dump all your friends into this environment and have hopefully multiple games going, and just have like it's a little bit more than a game, it's kind of a arcade experience, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah. Do you think they'll ever be able to pull off air hockey in VR?
I think you could do that easy.
Yeah, it just moves so fast. I'm wondering if you would be able to track it fast enough.
I think you could work it out. Mm. I definitely think you could. I played that a bit. Another
what was that
cool
called?
Thing. That's Pool Nation VR.
VR.
Not so much a game, but one of those things that you could only do in VR, really. There's a thing called the Night Cafe, and someone has basically taken some...
It's Van Gogh.
Yeah. They've taken one of his paintings and rendered it into a 3D environment that you can teleport around and walk around in, and which was... It's really cool. It's free, so there's not much to it. But one thing I did is I walked over to the window, and I was like, oh, just look out the window. Starry night. Nice. Out there, and it just kind of blew me away a little bit. I really, really hope that there are more things like this that, you know, come out, more, you know, more we can take existing art and existing things in the world and just really put a whole new spin and give people a whole new perspective on it. It would be really cool to see something like someone like MoMA or someone like that do a whole sort of VR art gallery that has some pretty interesting experiences in it. I think that would be just really, I think it'd go over really well.
It's a perfect application, man. I mean, I would love to go to the Louvre.
Our listener, you know? Andy, just this week was saying that would be the best if you could tour the Louvre, because he was saying the Louvre is amazing. Going to the Louvre is awful.
Yeah.
You know, because of all the crowd and et cetera, et cetera.
Just like, so if you just could like that going VR, everywhere where that happens, like the aquarium in Baltimore. In Baltimore, it's pretty nice, but getting there is a pain in the fucking ass. any attraction like that, it's always, that would be, you could do that with so much stuff. That would be so cool.
And let me ask you this, Justin, or Jean-Paul, if what do you think in terms of video and in particular movies?
I have watched a good hunk of Interstellar. in VR.
Uh-huh.
And it was cool. I feel...
Now, I've watched, like, when I watched movies, it was sort of like, okay, I did the virtual desktop or the Steam VR, you know, where you can put the...
So I did Steam VR and just did the desktop view. That's mainly because I don't have Windows 10 on my machine. And to do, like, big screen beta or to do virtual desktop...
That's what I've been doing. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to have Windows 10 because they rewrote how you can access that desktop view in Windows 10, and it's a lot quicker and a lot better. Basically, all those apps, the virtual desktop and big screen, have said it's not going to come out for Windows 7, so just give it up. I'm on the verge of upgrading to Windows 10. I know it's going to be fine.
Join us.
Yeah, I'm just stubborn.
The thing that was cool with the big screen, and you've probably seen this, but, you know, for the sake of our listeners, so you can throw your desktop in front of you, you know, basically a window that kind of floats in midair. So that's your desktop. And then you can change the distance, size, and curvature of that.
Yeah.
So I can essentially move my desktop. And this is all within the Steam VR stuff where you're kind of like sitting in an environment where, you know, sort of like the Oculus Home of, you know, there's like a fire, you can move to a kitchen or be on a balcony or whatever. And the thing that was cool about it is you can throw your desktop into the distance and blow the size up super big and then play a movie on your desktop. So it's like watching almost an IMAX size screen floating in front of you.
I really liked watching Interstellar in that Steam desktop view. I mean, I had it kind of set up where got it positioned just right to where I didn't really see a lot of the Steam stuff, those like buttons at the bottom, and then had like my environment that I was in, the holodeck. That's what I'm using in Steam VR because it's just awesome.
Yes. You were so fucking tight, man.
Yeah.
You mentioned that before.
And someone actually just added controller models for the Vive controllers that are phasers from the next generation. So, like, it's just over. Like, it's just...
You got Counselor Troy and the doctor in there with you? Dr. Crusher?
Not yet.
Just hanging out?
It's Tasha Yar, but tar monster.
Everybody in there. Data, because, you know, he's fun at a party.
He is fun at a party.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Tasha Yar, Data and Tasha Yar got it on.
Just don't invite Jordy, because he'd be macking on your chicks all night.
That's
fuck
true. Him.
Fuck Jordy.
I'll,
like, he's good in a pinch when the ship is broken, but man.
Well, I mean, if you want to get real, Jordy LaForge had a pretty problematic relationship with women throughout the Next Generation in that he only fell in love with holograms.
Yeah,
that's a good problem. And then he met the real person who happened to be married.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out for him.
Yeah, poor guy.
I don't know what you're expecting, you know. It's never not going to be awkward that you were banging a hologram version of the person you just met.
Yeah, you know, it's not good when she walks into the program, and it's just not good. It's not good.
Right, and like immediately you just start tossing out all your weird freaky fetishes, and she's like, "What? Wait, I'm real." No, I thought
no, but you would never do what this hologram does.
Right. Well, yeah, like. All right, I need you to lactate and pee on me simultaneously.
On command.
I'm sorry, who do you think I am?
Not a hologram.
Yeah. One thing I will mention as a follow-up to the, you know, the big picture thing, which was really cool. Like, watching a movie like that was pretty impressive. But I watched a movie that doesn't necessarily have super high quality. It's just kind of a 480 SD film. And I think it actually benefited from that because if you're watching a Blu-ray, say the stuff like the screen door effect and that kind of thing stands out a bit more.
Yeah.
And I find watching a lower resolution movie actually cleans it up so that it feels not just kind of cinematic because of the size of the screen, but it actually helps the image. We're still first gen VR. It ain't perfect, but it's awfully good.
Is that just awfully good?
Is that just happening in like a void Like, there's nothing, it's just black all around you, or are you, like...
No, that's with, like, the Steam VR environment. Like, in this case, I went to the balcony.
Okay.
And so you're, you know...
That's cool as shit.
Like, you can kind of clip through the environment if you blow it up too big. But, yeah, it's real cool, and being able to watch this obscure Japanese film on this giant screen, it was like, oh, I would never be able to see it with this kind of scale.
Is there a drive-in theater version of that?
There needs to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Like, outside, like, crickets, thunderstorm off in the distance.
That would be amazing.
Well, you know, and what's cool is, I can invite Justin into my session.
That's cool.
And we can watch a movie together.
Yeah.
VR is here, and it's real, John.
It's not going anywhere. Get a graphics card and get it.
Yeah, and actually, I gave Power Listener Andy my DK2.
Oh, really?
And he's got it running on I think, a 780.
Nice. Okay.
And, you know, said it runs all right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I bet there's a lot of those floating around out on eBay. Or do you think people are holding on to those things?
What, 780s or Oculus?
The older Oculus.
DK2s?
It's got to be semi-valuable. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean...
Does the price go down on something like that eventually?
Well, they're not making any more DK2s.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get more rare, but, I mean, with technology, that kind of rule doesn't apply. It's not like, you know... Like, this becomes less useful as time goes on.
Sure,
I guess it depends on how successful virtual reality ends up being.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like having an old console. Like, I still have all my old shit, so...
Yeah.
There's a nostalgia to it.
But there's a small number of units produced.
Yeah.
So there is that element of, like, it could be very much a collector's item. I need to get that back from Andy.
Let him get it all sticky.
Right. Like, I saw how he was treating it, and it's unkind.
Eating popsicles while he's playing with the thing.
Oh. a popsicle, I wish.
Past that, I don't think there's much else in virtual reality that I tried out that was new. There have been some updates, like the Lab, which is sort of the free game that Valve has put out. They updated it and added leaderboards to the four or five experiences in that would benefit from that, which is cool.
You still on that Hover Junkers?
Hover Junkers. They haven't done an update too recently, but I haven't played that. I normally, when my buddy Sean is on, that game's so much more fun with two people than it is with... I mean, it's still fun with one person, but it's just immensely more fun with another person. So I haven't really... I think we played that like once last week. Past that, last night I got home from vacation. I saw that if you buy the Arma 3 expansion right now, the Apex expansion, and subscribe to the development branch, you could hop into their new terrain. So right now in Arma 3 you have Altus, and that is a very large play area. It's based on a Greek island. So, you know, it's after you've played on that for a while, it can get repetitive and tiring, and you know, you've been to, you know, all these different places. So they've released a new terrain called Tanoa, which is based on like a South American island, and it's lush with greenery, massive in size. It's the performance on it is ridiculous. I don't know what they're doing different. But, you know, normally if you had that many trees and that much grass, it would just kill your frame rate. Maybe they've pulled over some of that occluder technology from DayZ that just went in, but they've really, seems like they're making strides to make Arma 3 performance a lot better, which is cool. It's a lot of fun. I hopped in that. Really all you can do now is open the editor up and kind of toss down some, you know, you could set up a whole mission if you wanted, but basically I just spawned a helicopter and flew around for a long time because that's what I love doing in Arma. Just hopping in a little bird and just seeing how low and how fast I can go through all the different places. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. They released some images for the rest of the expansion. So Apex is not just a terrain. It comes with new vehicles, and everything looks super near future, straight out of Avatar. They've got like an unmanned attack helicopter that you'll probably be able to control with like a drone, which is just going to be nuts to see what people do with that. If some people come with some really wild multiplayer modes where maybe everyone is using those drones and there's like some weird, maybe you're trying to hunt each other down with drones or something like that. Like there's just so many possibilities you could do with something like that. That could be really, really fun.
How does the pricing work on this thing?
It's $27 right now for that. There was a season pass, I think. I don't know. I'm pretty sure the season pass only got you the DLC up until this point, and then Apex is like a less of a DLC, more of an expansion, is what I would say.
Previously, it was helicopters. I'm looking at it on Steam here. It was helicopters, carts, and marksmen.
Yeah.
And it looks like you can buy... get all that bundled together for $20.
Yeah, that's well worth $20. If you like the helicopters, that helicopter one is got the extremely like simulator flight model in it that will just wreck you. You can turn that on and off. It's really fun to see how horrible you really are at flying a helicopter compared to like standard Arma 3 helicopter physics.
I don't know that I would be that surprised.
It's tough.
Have you played anything? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. No,
I'm really excited about this expansion. I think like the near future thing is maybe going to work out really well for them. You know, with everything's like, you know, the Battlefront, whatever is going to World War One. I guess, you know, Call of Duty, no one really gives a crap about that anymore, but I think this will be, like, sort of a mix between, like, Halo meets maybe, like, Planetside. Like, you're going to have some more quirky, kind of out-there vehicles, which I think is cool, and I think people are going to come up with some pretty interesting stuff with all the new assets that are in there.
Nice. I was going to ask, have you played anything on the Vive where you were using a flight stick while you were in VR?
I have not. I have DCS, and I was going to fire that up.
That's like a time investment.
Yeah, it's a big time investment.
And flight sticks are fucking great, but man, they're hard to set up sometimes.
Yeah, and especially DCS, because it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, you can turn it onto like a more of an arcade mode, where you're like already flying, and you just basically just jump in and go, but that's not me. I would have to, you know, I want to like sit down and press all the buttons and stuff. There is a VR experience that's like I think it's Apollo 11 or maybe one of the Gemini missions, but they're working on a full HTC Vive supported. I think you can already play it on the Rift, but they're gonna do a full Vive release of it where you can press all the buttons and they're gonna simulate to a T, 7 different NASA spaceships, and you're going to be able to do missions, you know, with them and hopefully land on the moon and like walk on the moon and stuff. And I'm just like beyond ecstatic waiting for that to come out, because I mean, who wouldn't want to do, you know, the moon landing, and who wouldn't want to recreate Gemini mission?
Idiots. You know, idiots wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, I should say
stupid people,
fucking idiots. Yeah,
I should say Gemini to be correct, because that's what they actually said that's what they called it.
Gemini.
Yeah.
If you don't want to sound like a dope, you gotta say it that way.
Well, that's true. That's true.
If you want to sound like an astronaut, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Buzz Aldrin will punch you in the face.
That's right. He does that.
He does that.
It's one of my favorite things.
Get your ass to Mars.
But yeah.
You can get yourself an Oculus Rift DK2 on eBay for somewhere between $400 and $500. Seems like your money would be better spent on a new...
On a brand new headset, yeah.
Yeah.
Past that, the only other things... This is video game related, but I got my first slew of VR accessories in. So the faceplates on the Vive are replaceable, and a lot of people feel like the foam was too big, so someone just was like, I'm going to go buy some foam, I'm going to cut it down, I'm going to make like a couple hundred of them, and if you want them, I will, you know, give me $20 and I will mail them to you. So I got some really thin foam padding to swap that out, and it, you know, just lets you get those lenses a little bit closer to your eyes, which really did seem to make a difference for me. It cleared stuff up, you know, just that much, just that little bit more to make it you know, more believable, immerse you even more.
How far are the screens from your eyeballs?
Not far at all.
No. Yeah, maybe, well, what, maybe an inch?
The screen itself is far away, but the lenses
Are right up close.
Right up close. I mean, you can get them to where, I mean, I've got them to where like my eyelashes are almost touching the lenses, but I have long eyelashes.
You guys ever noticed that it's hard?
We've talked to you about bragging, Justin.
Yeah. Yeah. Got long eyelashes, baby.
Do you guys ever think that it's hard to focus on the image, or does the depth of it make it just seem like you're focusing like you would in the real world?
I have found instances where I will close one eye because sometimes when you get something really, really close to you, if you close one eye, it almost gives you a bigger field of view of that thing when it's closer. I don't really know how to describe it, but several people have said this. I've found myself crossing my eyes every now and then when I kind of didn't intend to.
Yeah.
But
that's permanent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an opti-grab scenario.
Fuck no, man, you did it.
But depending on how far something is away from you, there's certainly a sweet spot for seeing text perfectly, yeah. I feel like, as far as, you know, you certainly got to get the lenses just right, but the distance you're actually away. I find myself, when I open up the Steam VR menu inside of it, I tend to walk pretty much right up to it, and just it just makes it that much easier.
All right. Anything else out of you, Justin?
No.
All right.
You sound so disappointed. Talk more.
So, and mine will be quick. So, in addition to FTL and Doom, which we have already discussed, I'm beginning a new endeavor, which is to actually finish a bunch of games that are really good, but good games have been coming out a bunch lately. And so my attention has been wandering, and so now I'm focused. I'm going to finish up the games that I've been playing over the past couple of months.
Bold statement.
And I know it is.
I've been in this exact place and failed.
Yeah, it's probably not true, but the fact that No Man's Sky got delayed almost makes me happy.
Yeah.
So,
spoiler. New spoiler.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No Man's Sky is not coming out when they said it was.
Yeah. Everybody knows that by now, hopefully.
Yeah. So I've been playing Ratchet and Clank to finish that up, because I just hadn't finished that game yet. I'm very far along and will probably be done in a couple hours, I believe. So I actually played about an hour of that tonight before we recorded. And the other game I've been playing, which is also part of the problem, is Overwatch. And that game is real, real good, especially for baby players like myself. When it comes to first-person shooters, it is incredibly warm and welcoming in that respect. It's really fun. I've had an amazingly good time playing an online shooter.
Can you give me the like 2-line review of it? I basically think it's the next Team Fortress 2 at this moment.
I did not play a bunch of Team Fortress 2. So it's hard for, I mean, it is class-based, absolutely. It is basically builder, healer, tank, assault kind of characters. And there are a bunch of characters within those divisions, though. Some of them, and they all have unique powers. And it's something you've heard a lot about this game, but I think it's true, which is no matter what your play style is, there's probably a character that plays like you want to play that game. You know, like if you want to be right up front doing FPS-ass, you know, first-person shooter stuff, then there are characters that do that. If you like big, brutish tank characters, there are characters like that. The one thing that they've managed to do is that the support classes, like the healer classes and so forth, are actually fun to play and rewarding, so that you're not, like, if you end up playing those roles, which most players are going to at some point because of the way that the menu system is built, when you're selecting characters before you enter a game, the game will actually tell you, like, hey, you don't have any healers on your team. Are you sure you want to do that? And, and you know, somebody on the team, usually me, because I'm such a nice guy, you'll change your character to be a healer class. But I end up having a real good time playing the healer because, like I said, it's kind of rewarding. There's a you can get some play of the game moments out of that. Surprisingly. And the other thing the game does that's super smart is there is no kill-death ratio ever displayed for you. It just tells you, like, hey, you did a really good job. Like,
Blizzard's good at making you feel good about yourself. Like, even when you lose in Hearthstone, it's all right. Or, you know, when you just get your ass kicked in Diablo, well, you know, I got to see a whole bunch of people's heads come off, so can't complain that much.
Yeah, and this is even more... not hand-holdy, and I mean, it's... I mean, I can see where they could make it a competitive game at some point, but it feels much more democratized as a shooter, or as a team-based game, you know? Because I hesitate to call it a shooter, because there are some characters that that's not the focus, and those are still fun. They're coming up pretty... coming out pretty soon with a character that is a... I want to say that it was a healer, but also a sniper. And I was like, oh, yeah, all right. That seems cool.
Can I snipe a teammate to heal them? Because that would be cool.
I don't know. But, yeah, and it's very colorful. It's Blizzard doing what Blizzard do. And only applying it to this, you know, team-based, you know, arena shooter kind of thing. And yeah, I've had a great time with it. I mean, I don't want to evangelize too much about it because it is, I think if you're a hardcore player, I think there's certainly things about that game that you would love. But I don't know. It feels like a casual shooter for people that don't play a lot of shooters. And I found myself not enjoying shooters that much, like the exceptions being Doom because it's just best of type. And Overwatch, because I don't feel like crap for not doing well for an online shooter, you know? And I really, really like it. I know I'm kind of selling it as like, well, I'm not good at video games, so this video game appeals to me. It's not that.
It's just the genre, though. Like, first-person shooter, competitive first-person shooters are, they exist to make you feel like crap.
Yeah, it's just I don't have the time, and I'm too old to have the reflexes to be super good at a game.
And like I don't even know if it's like a reflexes thing. Like, I hear that argument a lot. I think it's just it's the first part of your argument. You don't have the fucking time it takes to get good at that game. Like, it takes time to just be able to anticipate, you know, lanes on maps and all those kinds of things, you know. Certainly there's a level of, you know, personal skill involved in it, but I think it's just... like, if I had a lot of time to play Call of Duty, I'd probably be way better at Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But because I don't, it's not fun.
And the thing that makes Overwatch so good is that from the first match you play online, the game is doing nothing but telling you, here's what you did best in that match. And it's not always like, no, you'll get them next time, slugger. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you're playing a healer, here's how many points you healed. This is the most you've ever healed, you know.
Nice.
And
that's cool.
You know,
like, pit you against yourself.
Yeah, you are totally playing your best stats in that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I picked it up on the PS4 because I wanted to play it with a controller. I didn't want a mouse and keyboard it. I know, again, that's sacrilege, Justin, but...
Yes, it is.
You know, again, I want to sit back and have a good time with something and not take it too seriously.
I'm almost curious to see what it would be like to play with a controller on PC against mouse and keyboard players. Like, I wonder...
What different... I don't know.
I don't know if I'm $40 curious, but...
Yeah.
You would get destroyed.
Yeah.
Probably so. Probably so. But again, there are characters where that wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you're still going to get tagged, you know, from time to time. I mean, it's still a shooter. Don't get me wrong.
And there's characters that do, like, primarily splash damage, and some of the healers, like, have real loose aiming because it's just kind of, you just aim in the vicinity of where you're going, so.
Yeah. And some of them fly, and, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
It really works out to their advantage to make a game that is, you know, has classes like that, where someone who, you know, who can admit that they aren't going to, you know, just run in guns blazing, can still hop in and have fun and feel like they accomplished something and helped the, you know, their team out. I think that speaks volumes to them and how they, maybe how they actually, you know, make games. You know, they're trying to make it fun for everybody, it seems like.
Yeah, and I think this is absolutely a home run in that regard. Like, I guarantee you, if you played the game, it might not be... it might not hook you, but I guarantee you, you would come away from it like, oh, yeah, that's a good shooter. You know, like, it's still a good arena shooter, even if that's not your thing. But yeah, all the other trappings that they've built into this game that make it, like I said, incredibly welcoming, and you feel like from the first match, even when you know you're doing really shitty, the game isn't telling you that. And I think that's an interesting take, you know, as opposed to the Call of Duty or, you know, lobbies.
You see your name there? The bottom one on the list. Every time.
Yeah. And like, I'm pretty good at Destiny when it comes to just general leaderboard stuff. Like, I, you know, in multiplayer, I can kind of be in the middle, and and co-op, I tend to be towards the top and whatnot in the PvE stuff. But, you know, it's not my thing. Like, I do enjoy my favorite character to play in Overwatch is the character with the mech that's got some really sweet machine guns. And the other thing that's kind of tough to make work, but once you do, it's awesome, is you can dash into a crowd of people and eject from the mech and blow it up. Then call in a new mech.
That's great.
Pretty sweet. And there are moments, like, again, when you just see, like, oh, the enemies are all clustering around the objective, and I know I'm close enough that I can dash, blow it, and get out of there and get 3 quick kills that way. It's pretty good.
How far can you dash?
It's on a kind of a timer. It's almost like you have fuel, so it's, you know, it's far enough that you can be, like, most of the maps are a series of, like, roads or corridors, and there's a lot of little inlets through the map. So a lot of the missions are cargo escorts and stuff. And so you're kind of playing in relatively confined space anyway, but there's a lot of verticality to it.
Yeah.
And it's... So, yeah, like, the dash is far enough in most maps to get where you need to go and, you know, no farther.
And, like, it's, and not, you can use that plot without doing self-destruct afterwards?
Yes, absolutely. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, you, like, a lot of times when you get killed and are running back to the action, I'll use that dash a bunch to, you know, get there in a hurry.
I'm in the same boat you are, man. There's so many games I want to finish, and I feel like if I buy into Overwatch, like, I'll never accomplish it.
Yeah, Overwatch is the thing that I play. Like, I didn't play it today, but most days I'll play, like, 3 or 4 matches, and I'm good. You know, it's like, I had a great time playing those, and now let me go do what I need to do tonight. So I don't think it's that distracting. I don't know that I'm, again, I don't feel like I'm selling it real well.
You're not going to put in like 8 hours on that game though.
I could,
yeah.
You know, I could see losing a Sunday to it,
yeah, okay.
But, no, I mean, as of right now, it's been kind of the thing I do like right before dinner. And that's been like, as soon as I come home, I'll play, you know, 3, 4, 5 matches of Overwatch and just, you know, kind of wash the day off and feel great.
I was never a big Team Fortress 2 fan. I just didn't like the way that it controlled, something about the feel.
Oh, this is like butter, Dolan.
Is
it?
Yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah, it looks
good.
Cool,
I mean, some of the characters, again, there's a lot of weird movement stuff between the characters. Some of them actually move very differently.
Hmm.
But yeah, the D.Va character, the mech character is, that's fun. Because of that dash. I like being able to kind of juke. So that's fun.
And was it $40 on PS4?
No, it was the full ride, man. It was all 60.
So there is, and it's hard to find, like when I was looking into this, there is a $39.99 version, I think, of this.
Yeah, the non-founder or non-Origins edition.
But of like Overwatch, if you go to Blizzard's webpage to buy it, you have to like, it is not noticeable on kind of the front page that there is this version of the game. And it just doesn't include a few, I think it's just some cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, I think some skins or something like that. Yeah. And there's so much garbage cosmetic stuff in that game.
Yeah.
Not garbage, some of it's fine.
Well, and I have heard, so there's like a chest system in there too, where you like get loot.
Yeah,
there's loot, and you can spend real money on that shit, but I've heard people say if you do that, you will ruin the game for yourself, because you will not, the incentive to, like the excitement of opening chests goes away completely if you spend any money on it. Because you'll get a lot of doubles of items, is what I've heard.
That's probably true, and also, who cares?
Yeah.
Because it's all, like, some of them are voice packs, not voice packs, but they're lines for some of the introductions and animations and stuff like that. But there's a lot of stuff, like, you get sprays all the time. I've been playing this game for a while. I don't know what the hell that spray does. I never use it for nothing.
Is that like you can change the color of your armor or something?
No, because that's the skins. Mm. And some of the skins are pretty cool, in fairness. Like, some of them are very different looking.
They're like decals or something?
The skins?
No, the sprays. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Hmm. I got a bunch of them. I don't know what they do.
I bet it's like in the old Source Engine days where you actually can spray paint something on the wall, maybe?
Yeah, I think you can tag the wall or something.
Nice.
And leave your mark. And it's like, who cares?
Dickfoot. A lot of things, but
yeah, but they're like unique to the characters and all that stuff.
Oh.
I don't know. And some of them are like profile pictures, and again, it's a bunch of who cares. Like, why would anybody ever pay for this? And if you ever got something you like, great.
Yeah.
And because I don't find that the loot chests are that much of an incentive for me. I love opening loot chests. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I love some Diablo loot chests, but. I just don't think the stuff that comes out of them is that worthwhile. I'm just not that into tricking my characters out that much.
Yeah, and that's something they can add to. I mean, if Blizzard's good at nothing, it's at, you know, making their games work better as time goes on. So
sure. And I might care about it one day. Right now, I don't.
Well, it's hugely popular, though. It's like, what was it, the first week they had like 7 million people sign up for it or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's one of those things. It's kind of a zeitgeist game that I was real curious about, and have found that it's just built to be that to begin with. It's like, you know, Justin was saying, it is Blizzard saying, how can we make every kind of game player care about this team-based arena shooter, essentially, and doing their level best to make every character play differently enough that there's something that's going to click. It's cool. It's a really admirable job of designing a game.
Nice.
Yeah, there's my sales pitch.
There you go.
Okay, so that's all I've been playing. Coming up, though, on my quest for completion, it's Ratchet and Clank, and then right on to Uncharted 4 to finish that up. So, all right, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we will be talking about video game news.
Sweet. I'll be there. Be there. I'm stealing shit from NBC from 1980.
Yes, you are. That's where we are now on this show. All right, we'll be right back.
Looking for something different in your podcast library? Then why not check out the podcast Under the Stairs? I'm the host, Duncan McLeish, and joining me each week will be a special guest as we examine some classic, old-school horror favourites, as well as some modern classics. That's not to say that we don't tackle some of the, let's say, more questionable entries into the horror genre. And if all that wasn't enough, we have a subset of shows called Baz V Horror, where our horror novice, the Baz, tackles horror in all shapes and forms to see who will come out victorious. So what are you waiting for? The show can be found at podcastunderthestairs.wordpress.com and on Stitcher and iTunes. The Podcast Under the Stairs is a proud member of Legion Podcast Network. This is Duncan McLeish from Under the Stairs, signing off.
Johnny Dolan.
Yep.
How about you hit me up with some of that sweet, sweet E3 news?
There's a whole bunch of leaks that have come out. The Watch Dogs 2 release date and trailer were leaked.
I watched some 4 minutes of gameplay earlier.
Oh,
just
really?
Before this podcast. Yeah, they did a live stream.
I watched the trailer, and it looks great. How does the game look?
It looks pretty cool. I mean, I just take everything with a grain of salt from Ubisoft when it comes to, hey, here's what the game's going to look like, and here's exactly how it's going to play. And
we were talking about that earlier. Yeah.
8 months before later, the show.
Yeah.
It's the complete different game. When the gameplay live stream things first started, I was like, oh, this is Grand Theft Auto. Because it's set in San Francisco, and you're playing a completely new character, and from everything that they're talking about, the world is a lot more open. There's a lot more activities that you can do. You can hack into more things. It just seems like they're taking the approach of more of a playground, like Grand Theft Auto gives you, than the last one was. You're in Chicago. You're like this revenge story. It seems like the story itself is a lot more based around society as a whole, as opposed to just one singular character, which I think would be cool. I think, and they said that there's going to be, you can play the whole thing co-op with a friend. It's kind of like The Division, where you can just run into people and team up with them.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, they've got some cool ideas. The character has like this drone copter that you can throw up and kind of scout out areas before you go to them.
The Ubisoft tower is now a drone.
Did either of you ever play the first one?
No, but my buddy Sean played it a whole bunch, so that was a game I was very interested in, and then it just seemed like it kind of fell flat when it came out.
Yeah.
There were some pretty glaringly horrible things, like there were railroad cars that made 90-degree turns and, like, just things that just kind of irked me from, you know, a design perspective, where I'm like, you know what, I just don't know about this. And he was very, very interested in it. He played through it, and he liked it. I feel like this one is picking up my attention a lot more than the last one did. I mean, as long as it looks like it does now, later.
It's a little closer to release now, though. Like, what they're...
Yeah, this year.
Yeah, November something, 9th, 19th, something like that.
Yeah.
Bo said we were talking about this exact issue earlier where Ubisoft overpromises. Bo, I was talking about a video. I found it. It's called Ubisoft Downgrades. It's on YouTube.
Oh, I've seen this.
By user CrowBCat. And, it's showing side by side, like, The Division and, you know, other titles. So Far Cry 4.
The Rainbow Six Siege ones are very,
bad.
Very
stark. Yeah, they way overpromised on that game.
Yeah, because they had just insane dynamic shadows and just all kinds of crazy stuff gameplay.
The environmental destruction is nowhere near what they were promising. Not even close.
So yeah, and that's what we were talking about. It's like, yeah, that trailer looks really nice, but after seeing this Ubisoft downgrade video, I'm just like, I can't believe it could be
Atari's Combat by the time it ships. Yeah.
You know, I think it would behoove them to release all their trailers going forward in like 8-bit graphics. You know?
Right, it's gonna be better than this. We promise.
We promise.
And then when it's not,
yeah, right. Yeah, like, yeah. God, come on, Ubisoft.
This is not 2600 quality. I'm sorry.
First of all, my console is not wood paneled.
Whatever happened to that? I was kind of like that treatment, like on cars, like the old town and country station wagon with the wood paneling on it.
It's a good look. I still like it.
I like it in interiors too, man. That, and it's all plastic wood now. It looks like garbage, but yeah. Whatever. I'm getting old.
Back in my day, cars used to be made out of wood. Oh,
the Adobe. You remember that sketch?
Just remember that you will probably live long enough to say, back in my day, I actually got to drive my car.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right. Well, you know, here's the big one is... I remember when there weren't home computers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a landmark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there for a while, the only computer that I had access to was at a school that I went to, and there were, you know, 30 other kids that always wanted to play on it because, you know, friggin' Oregon Trail was on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Or Number Munchers or something, you know?
Oh, Number Munchers.
Don't put the floppy on top of the floppy drive because that will erase it.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day, that, you know, remembering the old hole punch technique of making your floppy dual-sided.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, going to basic computer camp when I was a kid. Let me tell you some stories, youngins.
One time at basic computer camp?
Yeah. Like, the 10 type whatever.
I was making an American Pie reference.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was flashing back to basic programming camp, and I gotta tell you, it's not as cool as it sounds.
One time at computer camp, my floppy drive turned into a hard drive.
Skyrim remastered.
Yeah.
We'll throw that out there. That's a rumor. That's an E3 rumor. Unconfirmed. I've looked around again this afternoon, have not found like confirmation of that from anywhere. Sounds cool for modern consoles. Graphics up res. That's a fucking great game.
But the mods at this point are what.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got it on PC already, there's no reason to get it because you can just load up the mods.
Kind of felt to me like they're just sort of kind of wrapping in a bunch of those mods as opposed to it being like a remaster. It's maybe they're pulling in some of those community mods.
You booted up and it's Sky UI.
It would be the easiest thing for them to do to just say, hey, yeah, you know, we didn't really have to do any work, and
we let the community remaster our game for us, and now we're gonna sell it again.
Yeah, I mean, brilliant. You can have some fucking real... Brilliant.
And it's going to have mod support, in fairness.
Yeah.
Or that's the rumor, so...
Yeah. Prey 2.
Yeah.
I just want to see that come out. I don't care. I don't care what it is. It could be Atari Combat. I just want to see Prey 2 released.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, all right, let's make that happen. And when it comes out, I will check it out. I am, however, excited about Wolfenstein 2, sequel to The New Order. That game was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and it turns out it is making good games besides Wolfenstein. Just saying.
Yeah. Give it to me. I don't know if that one was confirmed or not, but that is something I think... I can't remember if I read an interview or something where somebody was interviewing Todd Howard from Bethesda and he alluded to that or not. I can't remember. Yeah, but I'll totally play that when it comes out. The funny thing about the Watch Dogs trailer that got leaked is it was leaked via an ad on Twitch. Like, they started playing an ad by that they had done too early or something like that. That was a weird way for that to come out.
Somebody probably got fired over that one.
Yeah,
don't know. Does anybody ever get fucking fired for this shit anymore? Yeah,
Twitch like, heads are gonna roll.
Yeah. Oh, you're an idiot. You fucking idiot. Don't give anything important to Dave anymore. You just everybody's got that guy in their office where nobody gives them anything important to do. You know.
Wait. Just,
but I'm a people person.
Yeah.
Today's the 8th.
What?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Damn it, Dave.
Fallout 4 modders are reporting their content as stolen because people are taking existing PC mods and just re-releasing them on Xbox One, even going so far as to copy and paste the PC installation instructions into the description for the Xbox One.
Ooh, bad description.
Like, no effort whatsoever to actually steal it.
But, alright, so who's releasing them on Xbox? Just other people?
You can just upload them. Yeah, just other people. So not the original authors.
Oh, okay, so, okay. I wasn't sure how that worked.
You know, the guy who made Macho Man Randy Savage replace all the dragons.
A genius, yes.
A genius. Gets his thing ripped off and, you know, some dumb kid just re-uploads it. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. So,
the two sides of this argument are great because the side of the argument of the people who are stealing other people's hard work is that they're doing it because the PC people who created them are being lazy and not bringing them over fast enough. That argument sucks.
Then just start from scratch and do make it yourself.
Make your own shit. Can you just make your own? Can you do that?
I'm just going to take your car because you're not driving it enough.
Yeah, you're not using it right now.
Yeah.
I believe I talked about earlier on this podcast a fish fan asking me for a ticket. Just give me your ticket. It's the same thing. Just give it to me. No, I'll sell it to you. No, man, just give it to me. Come on, be cool. No. Fuck you.
Yeah, this was the same person. What was he selling? Like egg salad? What was
burritos.
It? Burritos.
Unrefrigerated burritos.
Yeah. I knew it was something deadly.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I have nightmares again tonight. There was the other story. There was what was the other side of this? It was, so kind of the blow up for this is like, of course this is happening is part one of this story. Part two of the story is that Bethesda is saying to the original, writers of these mods, oh, well, you know, just provide us with some evidence that it's yours and we'll take it down. And so the response from modders has been, we're not going to make any more fucking mods because it's your job to prove that they're, you know, you should be curating the shit yourself. We already made you free fucking mods.
You know, but still, you should be able to say, like, hey, this is my code. Here's my save file on this day.
Argument. Yep.
Yeah, like, give me your... Yeah. Give me a little bit of proof. It doesn't have to be a ton. Yeah. Show me a little bit of proof.
So, and I think that's on Bethesda to make tools available where they can easily track that.
Sure.
Like when you and so the problem is people are pulling things off of like Nexus Mods, which is not affiliated with Bethesda in any way. So in that situation, that I mean, like they're going to have to dig up proof. Like if you're, you know, publishing things on a platform that is Bethesda sanctioned, I guess, even though, you know, they accept things from Nexus, but they have their own platforms for distributing mods. So I can see both sides of that argument. Ultimately, it's the dinks that are stealing it that are the, if they would just go away, all would be well. Ubisoft issues a warning to Rainbow Six Siege players, that if you cheat or hack in the game, you will be banned permanently.
Well, finally?
On your first defense, yeah.
Right.
That's what I wrote. It's like, this game has been out for 6 months, and now you're doing this. It's too fucking late.
Yeah. Only play that game single player, or the lone wolf mode now, just because it's... I don't want to deal with that crap.
I mean, I can't believe...
Oh, is it that bad?
That people,
I don't know if it's that bad, but... I mean, there are certain things that I feel like that I've read that they haven't fixed. There's... like a peeker's advantage, so someone who's peeking around a corner has a little bit of an advantage just based on how like it positions the character model. It's something that like a ton of people want them to fix and change, and they just aren't doing it as last I read, which is kind of dumb.
I mean, I just can't believe that Like, it takes a very special game to have a life cycle beyond about 6 months. Like, Overwatch looks like it's going to be one of those games. Like, people are going to play that for several years. Like, people still play a lot of Blizzard products because they're very good at designing them for longevity. And it comes, you know, via support after it's released and the fact that they make really good games. But, you know, like we were just saying, Ubisoft overpromised on this game, released it, it had a lot of problems, and it's pretty fun. I played it for a while, but it just wasn't my bag. But I can't believe there's a huge crowd of people still playing that game. I mean, it's probably all fucking hackers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know this, but I'd be interested to see what the, not install base, but the actual current player base is for that game. Is it maybe it's not worth Ubisoft's time or money?
I wonder if it's even on the top 100.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, maybe if you could play it just through Steam, we could get you some, you know, active player numbers. But
oh yeah, because you have to play that through.
You have to play it from friggin'
fucking Uplay,
Origin, or Uplay, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't just go look up and see how many active players they are.
Just something that's
awesome about games that are actually on Steam.
Yeah.
But I guess technically you can buy Rainbow Six Siege, I think, on Steam. I may be wrong on that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's too fucking late.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think that, like, and just, you know, I'm thinking of like Call of Duty on PC. Like, I bought, it was on a Steam sale a while ago, I picked up Call of Duty 4, because that game's fucking awesome. But, you know, I played it a couple of times, because it was just full of hackers, because nobody's watching that shit anymore.
Yeah.
So, I literally could not get into a game that wasn't, and they weren't necessarily just killing everybody, but they're all using, you know, wall hacks, and clipping through shit, and they all had, like, colored names in the game, and, you know, it's like, okay.
It's more of whose hacks are the best than who's actually playing the game.
Yeah. So the other side of that coin... A
chess match of bastardry.
The other side of that coin is that Blizzard has already banned thousands of Overwatch cheaters. Permanently.
In you know, news of how you should actually do things, from day one, they have said, if you cheat, you're banned. See ya. And that is the way it should be. There should be, I feel like personally, for a certain set of games, there should just be a zero tolerance policy on cheating. It's not going to go away unless there are real world repercussions to doing it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, this was, the story I have here is from June 3rd. So, like, within the first week, they had already banned 1,500 people from the game. That's
Blizzard don't play, son.
Yeah, it's just, that's how you do it. And they're, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like fundamentally that this might just be a better game than Rainbow Six Siege, but there's a lot of people that really like Siege.
I think,
you know, it's impossible to speculate, I guess, but maybe it would still be around, more popular, if they had started banning people right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, but also Blizzard is making a big push for Overwatch to be a competitive game.
Yeah.
And as such, you can't tolerate cheaters of any kind.
They're doing this kind of catalog-wide, though. They're doing, you know, we had the story last week about the incident at the Twitch Hearthstone deal, and so Blizzard's even, like, kind of going outside of their borders to try to solve things that make games kind of suck, you know? People talking shit on Twitch streams, people hacking, you know, they're taking a vested interest in just making not only their games, but the environment for their games better. So I think they're a good example of what to do.
Yeah, I'm slowly becoming one of those people that's just in the bag for Blizzard.
Yeah.
You know, just like whatever they're putting out, I'll at least play it.
Yeah, I agree. Apparently, if you order an HTC Vive, you'll get it in like 3 or 4 days.
Ships in
3 or 4 days.
Yeah. You get it in like 2 days. Yeah, I think.
So five days total.
It's wonderful box that shows up at your house.
They seem to have solved supply chain problems and shipping difficulties, and
Now they just need to focus on customer support and getting that up to par with everything else.
Oh, yeah? What have you heard?
You know, if you break your controller right now, sorry. Sorry, we don't have a you know, policies in place to get those things shipped out to you yet.
So they're still just shipping full kits, like they don't have controllers to spare.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I think we've talked about this before. You know, I understand supply chain stuff, and it's a lot of work to move inventory around and get items like that separated out and have everything staged so that you can have customer support people who can say, yeah, okay, oh, it's broke. Okay, cool. That's going to be $60 and we'll mail it to you tomorrow. You know, it is a big undertaking. And, you know, I think that we'll see a day where that's all sorted out.
This is a step in that direction.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but it still really sucks if you're a guy that's got broken touch controllers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the other side of that, though, is Oculus Rift, order it today, August.
Wow.
And that was a day or two ago when I looked. Their shipping estimates are August.
Way behind.
Yeah. But
just,
you know,
in time for No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Which I will jump to.
Yeah.
Delayed. Well, I believe actually, that happened right after our last episode. It got delayed.
You know, they may be, you know, reaching a point where if they can't get the supply caught up, they're about to bump up against PlayStation VR, which is going to release this fall. And if they can't get their shit together by then, like, why would you buy an Oculus and wait 2 months when you've got a PlayStation VR right here? And with that install base, that becomes real appealing.
Yeah. I mean, just in the past couple days, you know, I've seen a couple articles that are like, you know, PC users have spoken. The HTC Vive is the headset to get. You know, I think that really, it stems from, it's a great experience. Room scale is absolutely amazing. But it's the supply chain stuff too, where it's just, right now it is, if you want a VR headset, there are places where you can drive to a micro center and you can leave with an HTC Vive. You know, I mean, that's crazy to think, you know, you're just not going to be able to do that with an Oculus Rift right now.
Yeah, which is a bummer because it's a real good product.
Yeah,
you know?
I want to try it. I in no way, shape, or form have formed an opinion outside of just some of maybe the things that Oculus themselves are doing in regards to the headset. I think the hardware itself is probably on par, if not better, than the Vive. I hear the screen resolution and all that is just, you know, a little bit better. It may be a little bit more comfortable. But, you know, I want to try it out. I want them to open up their platform a little bit and just finally accept, you know, that we shouldn't be trying to make VR a closed system, especially when it comes to the Oculus Rift itself. I think that's bad that they're, you know, what they're doing right there.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, let's all share in this technology or in the software coming out, because more software only helps.
Yeah. The best analogy or example I've seen is they're like, you know, Valve didn't put games out and then start selling computer monitors that only Valve games work on. You know, these headsets are just monitors that accept inputs. And you would never in a million years see Valve do something like that, or any major manufacturer just release a monitor that only worked with one company's games. Like, that's just, it's just kind of dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different, but
I know.
Well, that was, so we have another story, the Oculus Rift's latest attempt to block piracy backfires on Eurogamer.net.
Oh, yeah.
So this was a while ago. This was probably right after our last episode that this broke. It was a couple of weeks ago. But they released a patch, which added an extra security step when launching games. The app now checks whether you have a Rift headset connected. This was seen as a move to block Revive, the popular mod which allows users to play Oculus exclusive games on other VR headsets, such as the HTC Vive.
They already got past that.
Yeah, so then the guy who wrote this, who wrote Revive, he said after they did that, the only way that he could get
it to work again was to basically remove the DRM on the Oculus, to completely bypass it. And he said, you know, I tried to find a way to work with what they're setting up here, but people want to play these games on this headset. I provided them a way to do that. So they're like what you guys were just saying, blocking the ability, people's ability to play any VR game on your VR device is stupid. That's a really bad idea.
Yep. And it, you know, like Oculus's problems right now, I think, are supply. Also, the fact that the touch is dragging till this fall, which it, you know, it's coming. But again, I wish it had shipped with the headset. And the other problem they have is PR right now. Like every move they make, it seems like they're doing it in opposition to the benefit of the gamer.
Yes.
And as an Oculus Rift owner, like I want to be able to see the stuff like once the Oculus Touch is out, and maybe you can't do the room scale, but at least you can use those devices. So I want to be able to play games that the HTC Vive does, you know, where it's not prohibitive. And same way with Oculus. Like, I want Justin to be able to play the same stuff that I'm playing and be able to share in that experience. Oculus needs to kind of take that approach of like, oh, what are you doing? How do we co-opt that for our benefit? You know, like, how do we turn this into a positive instead of trying to be a roadblock?
They should take a page out of Sony's playbook, where Xbox One was announced, and they announced a bunch of features on it, and in a press conference hours later, PlayStation, like, there was a huge negative uproar about a lot of things that Microsoft announced, and then PlayStation just said, yeah, we don't have that.
Yeah.
We're not doing that shit.
Yeah.
It was brilliant, you know, and that's, I mean, like, it seems like Valve could capitalize more on a lot of the shit that, a lot of the, you know, problems that Oculus is having, but they're, you know, to their credit, I guess, I think they're playing it from the angle that, you know, the more the merrier. Like, let's get VR established before we start trying to chop each other's legs off.
I mean, right now, it's more like the less they do, the better.
Yeah.
I mean, they just sit there twiddling their thumbs with a little smirk on their face for the next couple weeks, and they're just going to keep selling headsets.
Yeah. So, we shall see.
Well, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but if the new Xbox is Oculus compatible, I think that's where you see Oculus kind of get their second wind.
Yeah, and that seems absolutely feasible that that's going to be something we hear at E3 probably.
Yeah. So
that'll lead us into, I believe almost all of this has been confirmed at this point. It was a story on, I think it was on Kotaku originally. I'm looking at Polygon right now. Xbox One is getting a huge upgrade in 2017, and they're releasing a slim model of the Xbox One later this year. Four times more powerful. The codename Scorpio Xbox 1.5. Or whatever it's called.
Two quick things about this. First of all, thank God they're doing a slim version of the Xbox One. That thing is a beast. You could murder someone with that appliance. The other thing is, I think Scorpio is maybe my favorite name for anything ever, if only for the direct Simpsons reference.
That's right.
Yeah.
The memes that have been coming out with Hank Scorpio do nothing but make me happy.
Gotta go down to the hammock district.
Homer, tell me what's on your mind.
Oh, you need a hammock? Oh, yeah, you just go down to the hammock district. Pick one of those up.
Albert Brooks. Yeah.
Fucking great. I mean, this shit is weird. This halfway through what would normally be a console cycle, we're releasing upgraded version. Like, they have to do this, I guess.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before, but they launched behind the PC. And usually there's that thing where the consoles are a little bit better for a while.
Or at least on par.
Yeah.
You know?
And in this case,
this is just like a fucking PC. And then 6 months later, well, it's not anymore, but it was.
Yeah. And these just came out of the gate being like, well, you know, I mean, it looks good, don't get me wrong, but it ain't no PC game.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love my PS4. I get a lot of use out of it, and I think it's a great machine, actually. The Xbox One is a thing I own. But, yeah.
I could kill someone with it if I needed.
The Xbox One is primarily home defense at this point. It's not so much a gaming console.
Is it at least quiet? Like, I boot my 360 up every once in a while, and it's like a fucking salad shooter, man. The fans are so goddamn loud.
It's... I mean, you can hear the fan.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's not a jet engine like my old PS3 was, but... Yeah. It's not perfect. Yeah, that's a real unfortunate console. I would love to see the Scorpio come out and be everything they're saying and get a lot of people on board and have great games and all that stuff. But man, that Xbox One is kind of going to go down in history as a thing that might have been a good idea, but didn't turn out like that.
Yeah. They are also cutting the price on all current Xbox One consoles by $50, so you can pick up a 500 gigabyte version of the Xbox One for $299.
Wonder how much money they're losing on that.
Probably a lot. The Xbox website, I'm reading this off of Polygon, the Xbox website characterizes the offer as lasting for, quote, for a limited time.
Which means forever.
Yeah, so, I mean, you don't raise the price of your console. People will just not buy it until you lower it again. So, yeah. I don't know, man. Some weird shit going on with consoles.
Yeah, I think you can get away with the lowering it $50, but only if you do it for, like, a day.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, this is a Christmas sale that, like, when you do that, and it's going to be a limited time, you need to announce when that deal expires.
Yeah. It gives it a sense of value at that point. Just to be like, hey, it'll, you know, we'll stop it one of these days.
Yeah. I'll go out and get one right now because in 2 weeks, man, it's going back up.
Yeah. It's like
if you're waiting for an excuse, here it is.
It's the genius of Disney when they're like, you know, we're going to release a Blu-ray version of The Little Mermaid, and it's going back in the vault.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've seen The Little Mermaid like 14 times. I don't ever need to see that movie again, but there's something about that. I'm like, well, I better get that.
Yeah.
It's going back in the vault, everyone.
Yeah, we can never get it out of that vault again. Once Walt Disney's cold ghost hands get its grips on the Little Mermaid, it's never coming back out.
Oh yeah, no, it's behind Song of the South in terms of coming back out.
I've got a copy of Song of the South. If you need some Song of the South, I can get you some Song of the South.
Oh, nobody really needs Song of the South. That is a really unfortunate film.
Where to go next? I mentioned it. I'll jump on this because this is like the keeping with tradition of the Shotcast news segment. Here's the knock that shit off because it's stupid. When No Man's Sky was delayed, of course, a bunch of morons start tweeting death threats to the developer of the game because they have to wait 2 months longer to play it.
Yeah, I saw that. Who was it? Was it Stephen Tatio, maybe, who reported it on Kotaku? But he had said the same thing. Like, both the developer and Kotaku reported it.
Yeah, and the guy that reported it was getting death threats. Like, I'm just fucking telling you what happened, man.
you're telling me you're going to kill me for doing the job I said I was going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that he said that his house now resembles the house from from Home Alone.
Yeah, Sean Murray, the lead developer at Hello Games, said, his tweet was, I have received loads of death threats this week, but don't worry, Hello Games now looks like the house from Home Alone, # Pillow Fort. At least he's taking it in stride.
That guy
seems pretty chill. Like, I've seen him interviewed a bunch of times, and he just seems really... For a programmer, for a pretty goddamn smart programmer, he seems really chill.
Yeah, he is so laid back. I like it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I feel like that will lead to that game being, you know, done really well. Just, you know, just do it right. Yeah,
take
your time.
Your fucking time. Like, something's not... I don't mind. You know? Like, I really wanted to play that game in a week and a half, but I want it to work. I want it to be really good. Like, I'm really hoping that game pays off. Like, the hype is something good. So, take your time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and this is a real, you know, let's put up the Smedley signal kind of affair.
Where, don't just pull that thing out if you're not serious.
No, I'm serious. Like, if you send a death threat to... Yeah,
you should get Smedley'd.
A reporter or a game developer over something this inane...
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you... Maybe we don't need you.
Yeah.
Smedley.
Smedley. That was kind of scary. I got a little chill when you did that. Let's see. In keeping with the trend here, I wrote file this under this will end well. A team of, I can't tell if there's Americans involved in this or not, but it was the way I read it was a team of Russian developers are making Battlefront 3, Star Wars Battlefront 3, calling it a spiritual successor to Battlefront 2. And there's a couple news stories that said Valve has agreed to let them distribute it on Steam.
For free?
For free, yeah.
See, that's the part of it that lends some air of legitimacy to it, is the idea of, like, hey, if we're not profiting off this...
Can we just do this? But no, it's Disney. Disney owns this, and they will not let you do that. They do not fucking care if you're giving it away for free.
I know, but... I want to play Battlefront 3 so bad.
I looked at, like, there's a release video for this, and this game looks like fucking garbage. Like, it may have just been pre-alpha footage or something, but it looks fucking rough right now. So, they're getting a lot of hype with these stories, but I don't think this game is ready for this. They're putting it in early access, right? They must be. I mean, it looks...
Yeah, I think that's what I heard, but...
It looks rough. So, like, I want Battle 3 more than anybody. I still play Battlefront 2. Like, last weekend, I played Battlefront 2. I don't know. Not like this.
Not like this. Yeah, yeah.
Certainly something entertaining to follow to see what happens with that. So, and other shitty news, Allison Road, a game we talked about previously on the Shoutcast, which is similar to PT in feel and style, has been canceled officially, which is a bummer, I guess.
Yeah, that was a Kickstarter too, wasn't it?
Yeah, they put it on Kickstarter, and then the guys that do Worms, Team 17?
Yeah.
Is that the guys? Yeah. Said we will distribute this for you, and now it's canceled.
Huh?
So, yes. The tweet was, or the message was, "Hi all. Sadly, Allison Road had to be canceled. Statement to come in the next few days. Thanks for all your support. Very sad it came to this." And I have yet. That was on June 5th, and I haven't seen their follow up yet. So
I hope the statement is the story of a torrid affair gone wrong. Where it's just like, you know, Jim and I were in a relationship. This game was our passion. Things turned sour when he had eyes for Sarah. You know, something like that. Because if it's just another story of, you know, I mean, we ran out of money. We don't have, yeah. I mean, whatever it is. It's like, that game got so much hype. It feels like a real betrayal for it not to come out at this point.
Yeah, and their little playable demo that they had of it, or no, it was just a video, wasn't it? There was nothing playable yet. But, it looked super cool. Like, it had some real nice lighting going on. It seemed like they basically just took the PT concept and ran with it, so. Apparently that game, that style of that game is doomed to not come out, so.
Yeah, I still have a hard drive somewhere with PT on it.
Yeah, I've got it on my PS4.
Yeah, I don't have it on the PS4. Well, I've got it on the old PS4 hard drive, not the new one, so I may have to yank it off.
What size drive are you running in there?
2 terabytes.
Wow, okay. That's about all you'll ever need, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Nice, I gotta do that.
I mean, if you want to live like a person, sure.
Stop being an animal.
Yeah, how many gigabytes do you have in there? Come on, John.
It's 500. It's not enough. It's not enough.
Have some self-respect is all I'm saying. All right. If there's not a T in front of that B, I don't know what game you're playing.
Rocket League is going to be releasing... they're releasing an update that updates their cosmetic loot system that will add rarity to items that you can receive. And at some point, they're apparently adding player trading. So who knows exactly what that means? Like, I don't think there's going to be any sort of a real money shop or anything, but it's the article I was reading. It was on Rock, Paper, Shotgun. Counter-Striker Rocket League gets CSGO-esque loot is the title of the article. Like, I don't know if...
Does that mean, like, in CSGO, people can make skins for weapons and then
I don't think that's a part of this.
Like, when you say it's getting CSGO loot or an article says that, that is exactly what I think of.
Yeah. Well, so one of the interesting things is, as an example, Psyonix talked about a sniper wizard hat, which would track how many... So the benefit of having this item in the game is that it tracks how many long-distance goals you've made while playing. So you can get cosmetic items that provide you with stats about your gameplay. So that's great. It's cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah, they have tons.
So you can't know that shit unless you have that cosmetic item. It doesn't affect your gameplay at all, but it gives you something other than just, yeah, check out this hat. It's cool.
But it gets in the other guy's head, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have guns in CSGO that have auto trackers, so it's just like there's an LCD that's attached to the side of your gun that just shows you how many kills you've had with that gun.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that's a, like a big
feedback
deal.
Loop, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the continuation of that is it says when you reach a certain threshold of long distance goals, the hat will level up to read skillful sniper wizard hat. So you can level up your cosmetic item.
Those guys are geniuses.
They really are, man. Like, they've got something going on here. And then also the other part of this article was they've reached 16 million players on that game.
I mean, tell you what they need to do next is they need to do an update that adds virtual reality headset support in a spectator mode where I can just sit and
watch a match.
Yeah, with my hand controller, I can just move around and move in and just, you know, maybe follow a person, you know,
stand
whatever.
In the middle of the field and watch the game happen.
Yeah, and I think one of the big MOBAs is about to do that where they're adding a virtual reality like arena spectator mode where you can just sit there and watch the game in your headset.
I would totally watch that.
Yeah.
That would be
cool, yeah. I mean, that makes absolute perfect sense. To give people that ability.
You know, here's my question to you, gentlemen. How does Rocket League continue to make money? Is it all just you pay for cosmetic stuff? Is that where their money is?
Yeah.
Do they do Rocket League too?
I mean, games exist on that model.
Counter-Strike does that.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do that you haven't done in Rocket League? I mean, those guys have been wildly inventive with that stuff. So.
Well, they're doing it really because they are adding game modes to that game for free. Like, they could sell that shit. They totally could. Because, like, the basketball, you could sell that. Like, Rocket I feel like they have given enough to where people would finally just say, okay, yeah, I don't mind you charging me for this because you've given us a lot with this game. So.
Yeah. Feels like more of a platform than just a singular game to me, almost.
Yeah, like it doesn't really need graphical improvements. Like, it's perfect. It works great. It looks cool. Like, you know, maybe you could make the crowds look better in the background, but that's, I don't need that in this game, you know? As long as they keep adding modes, you can buy, you know, like car packs where you can get, like, the DeLorean from Back to the Future. They sell that kind of shit.
If they do the Ecto-1 for Ghostbusters coming out...
I think it's in there.
If so, then that might happen for me.
Yeah, like, that's a cool way to do that shit. Like, it doesn't affect the gameplay at all, you know?
But, yeah, and I got that game for free. I'd be happy to throw $5 at that game for goodwill.
Yeah. So, I mean... It's the anti-greedy way to do things. Like, they could totally go 180 degrees and still get away with it, I'm sure.
Plus, if they do a totally new IP on the back of this, and it says, from the creators of Rocket League, well, you have my attention. You know?
Yeah, but, done.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think they can do that for a while, though, because the user base is just growing exponentially right now. Like, they still just keep getting more and more players. And I think if you put out a Rocket League 2 and said, hey, everybody, you got to move to this new one now, I think that would piss the community off in like an irreparable way.
No, I'm not saying a Rocket League 2. I'm saying a totally new thing.
Oh, yeah.
But just from the creators of. Oh, I think I they've earned that like kind like of goodwill.
A different title entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That yeah. If you heard that, just knowing how they've supported Rocket League and how, you know, they seem appreciative. Yeah. In a weird way. And yes,
Psyonix is doing something new. Oh, what is it?
Yes.
I bet it's good.
Yeah, I bet they will, even if it's not a game for me, I bet they will support the hell out of it and do a good job with it. Yeah.
So, Minecraft has sold over 100 million copies. When I bought Minecraft for the PC originally, I believe it was like $20. I think it's still $20, pretty much no matter where you buy it. Unless you get the mobile version, which I think is $10. So you're talking about like $200 million here.
$200 million?
Yeah. I believe that equates to $2 billion.
That feels right.
Yeah. So that's not bad for just fucking game sales. I'm sure it's not that much because they've had sales and whatnot, but I bet you're talking like $1.5 billion worth of sales on this thing.
That's and a lot Notch money. Is just out there twiddling his thumbs, talking about how bored it is to be a rich person.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be rough.
I did fire up the Minecraft recently, and that's all right.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
I mean, is that... What version of, like, is it just a version of Minecraft, like a third-party version?
Or? No, it's
1.7.10.
1.7, yeah. Okay. Wow, yeah. Okay. And it's just straight-up Minecraft.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you can install it with Forge now, so you can toss some mods in there as well.
I'm going to have to get a fucking VR headset. All right, moving on before I spend $800.
Pretty sweet.
GOG.com, good old games. What's the name of their service? GOG Galaxy?
Yeah, GOG Galaxy. I like it.
Yeah, it's nice. They're having their summer sale right now, which just started today as of the recording of this podcast on June 8th. Their new feature that they just announced was, and it's for a limited number of games right now, but any DRM-free games that you own on Steam... they have put something on GOG Galaxy where you can just input your Steam account information and they hook into the API and any games that they're currently offering, I think it's kind of a short list, maybe like 30 games, but any games that are on that list that you own in your Steam account, they will just unlock for you in GOG Galaxy, essentially giving you another copy of it, I guess, a virtual copy of the game.
And again, DRM-free copy of the game, so yeah.
That's really cool. Like, that's my problem with it. GOG is made. They're setting themselves apart from Origin and Uplay because they're playing nice. So, like, hey, Steam's got fucking gazillion games in their library. If we can even just get a piece of that over here to get people on our service to start buying games from us, because your library will just be the same. That's really smart.
Yeah. I genuinely enjoy GOG.com and you know, they run good sales and all that stuff. So
yeah, I mean, their service is nice. It's basically just a different version of Steam.
I have all the Wing Commander games on GOG.
Yeah. Yeah, they run some cool deals on they have a really neat old game collection on there. There's a lot of really good shit, and they do packages all the time. Like, I think right now they've got a Star Wars package on sale. LucasArts Classics for six... No, that can't be right.
Yeah, holy shit, dude. For $16 on GOG, you can get The Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition, Monkey Island 2 Special Edition, Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb, Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, The Dig, Loom, Zach McCracken and the Alien Mindbenders, Sam and Max Hit the Road, Outlaws, plus a handful of missions, and Afterlife. So, like, almost the entire... Full Throttle is not in there. I think they're working on a remastered version of that, and also Grim Fandango is noticeably absent from this pack as well.
I will
that whole thing $16. Well, that's because
Tim Schafer owns
$16
that now
for an ass load of adventure games.
I would play the crap out of a remastered Full Throttle.
Yeah, that was a great game, man. Good shit.
Actually, Sam and Max Hit the Road is a good game.
There's a Star Wars pack on there. Star Wars X-Wing Special Edition, Star Wars TIE Fighter Special Edition, Star Wars X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, Star Wars X-Wing Alliance, Rebel Assault 1 and 2, Galactic Battleground Saga, Star Wars Rebellion, Star Wars Rogue Squadron 3D, $28. Like, there's a whole bunch of nostalgia for you for $28.
So many good games.
Yeah, I mean, then they do nice packs like that all the time, not even just on sale, but all this shit is... They got some good prices on some of the stuff.
I'll tell you, speaking of the packages they do and my Wing Commander problem, I had Wing Commander like 3 and Privateer that I bought because I genuinely love those games. And they did a pack, and they'll reduce the price of the pack based on the games you have.
Oh, yeah. If you already have.
Yeah.
So they're like games from the pack, they'll just subtract that price. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, thanks for just throwing that feature in an obvious way. So, yeah.
And it almost seems easier than like giving you a key for that game that then just sits in your inventory until you figure out a way to trade it. Like, I don't know.
Well, it's also their whole philosophy, which is you bought this game, you own it.
Yeah.
So why should we make you buy it again? It's not a license. You're not buying a license. You're buying the game.
Yeah, they've got... where is it? The expansion for Witcher 3 is on sale. 10% off right now. The brand new expansion that just came out. Blood and Wine, is that what it's called?
Yeah, the last expansion.
Yeah.
Witcher 3 is done.
Witcher 3 is on sale for $24.99. Man, I might have to pick that up. That's a good price.
That may be the game that takes the place of No Man's Sky in kind of late summer.
Yeah, I mean, I've never played it. So
I've played enough of it to know, like, this is going to be an undertaking, like a Dragon Age Inquisition level undertaking. Although I feel like it's going to be more satisfying than that. Yeah. But I don't know. I've been hurt, John. I'm not ready to jump back into something like that.
50% off Rebel Galaxy. That's a good one. Super Hot. It's on sale. 20% off. So anyway, there's some good shit going on GOG right now. The PlayStation Plus games this month. They came out yesterday. Gone Home and NBA 2K16. Apparently that's a decent basketball game. I have not played it yet, but
yeah,
I downloaded it. Try it out.
NBA Jam is the only basketball game.
Double Dribble.
You know, I got NBA 2K15, I want to say, with a graphics card purchase or something. And I played that game, and it was real good, you know? So I haven't downloaded either of those because I have Gone Home on PC, and basketball is a sport that I barely understand.
Yeah. Gone Home is totally worth it. If you're a PS4 owner listening to this and you have not played Gone Home, it is a must play.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, where is it? I lost it. Double Dribble. There was an episode of Family Guy recently where they played some clips of Double Dribble and...
it's an exploit on how to always get a three-point shot.
Yeah, how to always get a three-point shot. And then they also, in the same episode, had video of Tecmo Bowl, where somebody's using Bo Jackson to just run all over the field because he was super overpowered in that game.
Sure.
So apparently they used these clips in Family Guy, and then the place that they took those clips from on YouTube, those got taken down because of a DMCA claim by Fox, apparently. Fox is saying that that YouTube took it down using their automatic detection stuff. So every time, apparently Fox has been working with YouTube on Family Guy specifically, probably a lot of other shit, where they give them a version of the show, and then they have their, you know, auto detection system noticing when people are uploading clips from Family Guy and then just automatically taking them down. So in this situation, if that's true, everybody's fine. Apparently the videos have been put back up, and the DMCA claim has been dropped. It's kind of funny,
but still,
I guess.
It's like, it's like taking a shotgun when there's like four people standing there, but you only are trying to, shoot one person.
Yeah.
And then afterwards being like, oh, well, yeah, we took you to the hospital and like the rest of you are fine.
Yeah, you're fine. Shake it off.
Cool. It's totally cool. Maybe they should think about that or build something into that system that says, oh, this 30 seconds of this Family Guy episode is not, take that part and cut it out, and so that it doesn't become a part of that algorithm that goes and searches against.
I mean, this is something, it's funny because they stole it from these guys. Like, these guys actually recorded gameplay of themselves playing these games to record these bugs. It gets really twisted too, because, they're recording gameplay of a game that someone else made and owns, so you start getting into, now you're like three layers deep into ownership.
But I mean, so I play a guitar that I bought.
Yeah, exactly.
That was made by Gibson, but they don't own all the music that I, write on the guitar.
Exactly. I mean, it's a really interesting, argument to go through all that stuff. And, obviously YouTube is just erring on the side of, the people that have more money at this point, because that's just easier to do. So I understand, but they can do some pretty cool stuff, with all the programming behind this, and they just need to finish it and figure out,
Yeah. But when you're talking about music and television and stuff like that, you're talking about industries that have resisted any kind of change and are the slowest to ever adopt anything resembling a reasonable policy about stuff like that,
Yeah. So I thought that was funny, though.
Yeah, it is. It is funny. And also, I had to think for a second, like, they're making new Family Guy still?
Yeah, right.
That was the big surprise of that story,
Reddit. There's a Reddit community planning a Dark Souls 1 global restart, where they are urging, I believe it's console and... console and... Let's see, 360, PlayStation 3, and PC owners of the original Dark Souls to boot up the game Friday, June 10th is when they're starting this, and start a brand new character and turn on all the co-op hooks so that people can, come into your game and do PvP and shit. And what they're trying to do is recreate the feeling that Dark Souls had when it was originally released, which is kind of a cool idea, I think. There are certain games like that where... after it's been out for a while, it doesn't play the same. Like, I ran into that recently with The Division. Like, once I got to the end game and wanted to start playing the Dark Zone, it was fun at the beginning, but then people started figuring out tactics to kind of exploit the Dark Zone, and it became unfun the longer it was out. So, I think this is a cool idea.
While I certainly appreciate the impulse behind it, it sounds like the plans of young people who have not yet learned that magic is just lost to time. You can't ever go home.
Yep. It's somebody's first attempt at nostalgia.
Right, right.
That's what it reads, yeah.
Yeah, remember how awesome it was when nobody knew anything about Dark Souls? And
Yeah.
It's like, it ain't going to be like that, man. And it never is.
Yeah, but what will be cool is...
why divorce happens.
Yeah. It's dark, man. it will be some weird, fucked up, mutated version of it, though. And that stuff is sometimes more interesting, I think.
Yeah. I could see it being an interesting experiment. It's just, it's not going to survive first contact with the enemy as a plan.
Doom. One of the coolest things I saw about Doom was somebody took the music soundtrack files from Doom and they ran them through a, I believe it's called a spectrograph, where they're looking at the signature, the sound signature of the audio files, and whoever the genius was that did the Mick Gordon was the composer for Doom soundtrack, put audio waves in there in such a way that when you look at these files through a spectrogram, you see pentagrams and 666 written in the wave form of the audio.
That's the most metal thing that's ever happened.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
It looks so cool. The article I'm looking at specifically is on Eurogamer.net. Doom soundtrack contains satanic Easter eggs. The number of the beast is the title.
There's quite a good video on YouTube of just the creation of the soundtrack for that game that heavily involves that guy and just him talking about the whole process and taking music from the original Doom and trying to update it, you know, and put it on that really crazy, like, detuned guitar that's in the soundtrack quite prominently. It's very good. It's definitely worth a watch.
I think that video is actually linked on this article as well. So yeah, if you just go to Eurogamer.net and look for Doom soundtrack contains satanic Easter eggs, there's just a picture of the guy who originally discovered it, of him showing the spectrogram. And then I believe that Doom soundtrack was composed by Mick Gordon. For more on his contributions to id's latest shooter, here's a couple of videos going behind the scenes on his heavy metal soundtrack. So you can find them linked right there. That's cool as shit. All the dedication to that fucking game, man. The detail in there is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
My last news story of the night. Somebody invented a real world Pong game. The video for this can be found on Engadget, and to truly understand how cool this is, I really think you gotta watch the video for this, because it is a tabletop version of Pong with a physical cube and physical paddles that you, it's almost like an oversized cocktail table that you stand up to. It kind of looks like air hockey, but it's not, you're not actually physically hitting the puck with your paddle. It is all run via computer, and you can see in the video the way that they built this thing. When you're turning your dial, it's actually turning a like a servo that is then sliding your paddle back and forth in front of you. And the way, this is the most genius part of it, I think, is the way that the actual ball interacts with your paddle is controlled underneath the table. The ball is hooked to a magnet, and then underneath the table, it almost looks like a CAD drawing machine, where the magnet is mounted in the center and it's on two arms and then can therefore move two-dimensionally and to any X, you know, Y coordinate. And so the ball actually responds with physics in the way that the actual Pong game did, to where your paddle is when it strikes it, how it bounces off the walls, all of that. It's super cool looking. They could sell these things for like $15,000, I imagine, and get people to buy them.
Yeah, somebody would buy it. But yeah, it is really neat. Yeah.
It's just so cool. Like, I mean, it's literally just a physical version of Pong. Somebody has yanked it out of the TV screen and made it come to life for real. It is really a neat project. Like, I get into some of these kind of builds sometimes where they do something like this, but this one is one of the best I've ever seen. This
next is really, really cool. Space Invaders.
Seriously. Make it happen. Yeah, very cool.
All right.
Real World Pong might just beat the video game on Engadget.com. Check that out.
All right. And we'll throw links to most of this, if I remember. Up. I like to set reasonable expectations.
So, yeah, look for it or not.
I mean, look, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, you know, life happens.
No one's ever going to say we're like Ubisoft.
No, we don't have that level.
We do not overpromise. That is a tenet of the Shotcast.
And also never climbed a tower in my life.
Yeah.
Although
we underdeliver at every opportunity.
We are the podcast of measured expectations. It is So, what's the shot guess? Like, it's,
so they make it, they record it, they put it out.
Right.
It exists.
People have listened to it at some point.
Sometimes they've sent questions to us.
Oh.
You know, about it.
Wow, what a segue. Holy crap.
This is the level of quality you can expect.
Yeah, yeah. It would be much cooler if I didn't acknowledge it, but I don't have that kind of cool. Yeah. Okay, so comments, questions, recipes. It is that time again. Joseph Petruzziello, stalwart for the show, has a couple of comments here and then a question.
I feel like at some point that he's just going to be on the show and one of us will be missing and there will be no explanation.
Yeah, or, if he operates with theory of if he wears our skin, he becomes us, then no one would ever know.
I mean, that is kind of cool, so...
Yeah, and also true, for you sociopaths out there, that is an accurate statement. Let's see. He was talking about some of the things dropping. He says the Injustice Deuce trailer dropped this morning.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. That first game was cool.
Yeah, and he says that it sounds promising with a measure of customization. I actually haven't seen that trailer yet. But the first game is good. I had one of those fleeting thoughts again recently where I was like, I should sit down and get at least competent at fighting games. I should understand the pacing of it, and then I never did. But I'm always frustrated by the fact that I love the look of the new, like, MK games and Injustice and all that stuff. And I'm just shit at playing those games.
I go as far as to actually boot them up and play like a couple rounds and just get my ass handed to me, and then I never play it again.
Yeah, which is a real shame. Like I bounce off them, and I do. There are those mornings, like that Sunday morning with a cup of coffee, where I'm like, man, I ought to fire up Mortal Kombat and just spend 45 minutes trying to figure a move out and see if I can pull it off.
What was that one? It got canceled a while ago, but it was keyboard based. Thunder, something like Rising Thunder.
I don't remember the title of it. I remember you talking about that.
It was like a fighting game for my level of play. Like, it was very forgiving. So I mean, that's literally what it's going to take for me to ever be good at a fighting game, is to just dumb it down to oblivion.
Fair enough. Yeah, all right.
It's never going to happen. I've come to accept this in my life. I am not going to enter any fighting game tournaments anytime soon.
So Joseph Petruzziello also goes on to say, rumors of not only a Red Dead sequel, but a remastered original gives me hope. Man, both of those. I want both of those things.
Yeah.
Let me pay for Red Dead one more time, please.
Sure. Yeah, whatever. If I could get that on PC,
done.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, don't even say it. Yeah. If it's not real. Oh.
Yeah, I would like some of that.
God, I mean, the graphics, like, in the ice engine.
Oh, my God.
Red Dead. Oh, are you kidding me? Ugh. All right. Remastered sounds good. And, sequel, that seems to be the one thing that everyone expects at this point, right?
Does it get announced at E3 next week? Next Thursday it starts?
Yeah, is Rockstar doing a press conference? Usually they do things on kind of their own dime.
Yeah, because they're Rockstar and they have billions of dollars, so...
Right, like they
do whatever they want.
Right, they could literally hire Skywriters to paint over every town in the sky. Red Dead is coming.
Yeah.
It's... I don't know. I don't know when that gets announced. I mean, it would be great if it were like the PS4 press conference where they're like, hey, we're, getting it on a timed exclusive or whatever. But it would be nice to see it show up in an Xbox or PS4 press conference as opposed to, Rockstar just sending out the press notices or whatever.
They just released that new update for Grand Theft Auto 5 too.
Warehouses.
Yeah, where you're like a CEO of your corporation. I forget what the expansion's called, but you can start a company, and it's just another way to run missions in the game, it seems like. But yeah, I mean, they've been supporting the hell out of that game too, so maybe they do a Red Dead 2 and do the support model that they've been doing for GTA 5 and really give it some life.
Just for the record, the name of it is Further Adventures in Finance and Felony.
Nice.
Yeah. Again, even when Rockstar does something like this, it's like, that sounds like something that GTA would put out.
Yeah.
All right. Started looking that up and forgot where it was.
Just thinking about Red Dead 2, man.
I kind of am, yeah. Red Dead 2, I know they've been saying it's a, you know, the idea or theory is that it's a prequel and all that interest. Oh, it sounds so good. Like, I'm so ready to play Red Dead again.
Oh, yeah.
A new Red Dead. And actually, I'd be absolutely pleased to play a remastered version of the first one again.
Did you see that the new Destiny DLC was announced?
Who gives a... all right.
But did you see the name of it? It's called Destiny Rise of Iron.
Yeah.
The acronym is literally ROI. Return on Investment.
See, that's why you're on the show. Obviously I didn't make that connection, but that's really funny. Have they announced, like, I haven't heard the official announcement. I heard the announcement of the announcement, and I was like, oh, stop it.
I think they're doing a live stream tomorrow, so that'll be on Thursday the 9th.
All right, if there's single player stuff in there, I might be tempted back in, because I enjoy myself when I'm playing with, like, Destiny with you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's all just, you know, multiplayer modes or whatever, I don't have any interest in that.
The DLC will include new story quests, armor and gear, weapons, a new raid, an increase to the maximum light, a new strike, the Plague Lands zone, and new social space, more crucible modes and maps, and a new enemy faction complete with bosses to fight against you. This is the only content that will be coming to the Xbox version, and it's likely that there will be some PlayStation exclusive content on top of that. 20th of December.
December sounds like, if it is good content, all right. Yeah. I'm back in.
So, they're ringing the Destiny money towel one more time. So,
are just putting something out to make people care about that game.
Yeah.
Because Destiny 2 got pushed, so they got to do something. Yeah. There is absolutely, I mean, and as much as I enjoy playing it, I've gotten zero desire to go play it right now because we've done everything, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jason Dennison asks us, even if I wasn't entirely a fan of the last Mass Effect story, I was a huge fan of the worlds and series itself. Are you guys looking forward to Andromeda? Justin, you ever play any Mass Effect? Were you in on that?
I own several of them, but have never made it about 45 minutes into one of them.
Smattering of Mass Effect in your library.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know, there's something about the gameplay that I guess I just doesn't really grab me. I mean, the setting and the story is so right up my alley, and I don't know, just something about the actual gameplay of playing it just wasn't that fun to me.
The first time I played Mass Effect, the original one, I think I had rented it from Gamefly, and I sent it back, and then I rented it again, and then that was when it hooked me, and I've, like, played through the series, you know, as soon as it came out after that. But yeah, that first one was a little rough around the edges. It was fun. The high water mark for that is definitely the second one.
Sure.
I've only seen kind of limited stuff about Andromeda, and I don't really know a whole lot about it, but I love the universe, so I'm the same. I just
the gameplay is not the highlight of that series. It's the lore and the characters and stuff. So it's a cool universe.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I really, really enjoy. I'm probably more of a defender of 3 than it sounds like you are.
I think 3 is fine. Yeah, it was fine. There was nothing really wrong with it.
Yeah,
actually, the combat controls I thought in 3 were fantastic. Like, I really like playing the Adept class, and I love being able to. You could like aim at an enemy, and then you can move your cursor up, and you could kind of throw the power up in the air so that it then like curved down on them, and you could, you know, if they were hiding behind a corner, you could throw stuff and curve it into them. I always thought that mechanic was really cool. Yeah. I also thought I forget what it was called, like the engineer class, where they had like that little tech robot that you would send out, like a little drone, and you could kind of, you know, electrocute players and pop them out of cover this in much the same way. And there's a lot of different ways to play that game. It was really cool. I wish that you weren't so locked into it sometimes, though. Like, I wish there was a respecking feature, but that kind of messes with it's not set in stone in the lore of the game or the story that you are a certain type of character. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think I'd just like to be able to kind of respec in that game at any time. But as an RPG, that's kind of hard to let people do that. So
yeah. Depending. But yeah, there's some stuff that's tied to all your choices and whatnot. But
yeah.
I think Mass Effect is one of my favorite series, actually.
Yeah.
You know, like every game, the problem is the mini games are terrible always.
Yeah.
And like the stuff.
Planet scanning and. To
the was, planet, yeah, that what was the name of the ATV or whatever in or APV? Oh,
what was that thing called?
Not the Mako. The Mako. Yeah.
I actually didn't mind that thing that much. Like, I figured out how to drive it.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but it really slows the game down.
It does,
and especially if you jump into that stuff after doing all the Citadel stuff for the first time.
Yeah.
That's a slog. But once you get past that, the game really takes off. And 2 is really the extension of that. It kind of hits the ground running and keeps going.
The DLC for the first one, the Bringing Down the Sky, did you ever play that?
Oh, sure.
That was awesome. It was so good. Like, just the environment of that one where you're on this, like, lunar body and it's got these giant engines mounted on it and they're blasting it towards this planet. Like, these terrorists have taken over the moon and they're going to slam it into this planet and you have to go disable all those jets. Like, there were just some epic vistas in that DLC. It was really good.
Yeah, it's, you know, the other problem that Mass Effect had was that it ended, you know, and endings are never as satisfying as the journey. You know, especially for a big sprawling action kind of thing where there are millions of people playing it their own way. I don't think that ending was good. I think it wasn't the best thought out ending for that series, but it also, it was always going to be a bad ending because you're not going to please any segment of your audience completely.
Yeah.
But it's still not a particularly good way to handle that. But yeah, so I'm super excited about Andromeda. I can't wait to see what that thing is. I don't really have a good idea yet of what that game is.
Like, it may have just been a rumor, but I thought I'd heard that there would be co-op for the main campaign, which I think would be
great.
That would be the best thing you could do to that game.
Yeah, especially if the dialogue choices, like, I can't remember which game did it now, but it allowed whichever character answered first. Like, if you were playing co-op, it would allow the first responder, so to speak, to control that part of the conversation, but you could jump ahead, and sometimes the characters directed at one character or another. And it was a real interesting way to make both choices matter. and also still, you know, kind of be true to the character you're trying to play or whatever. I don't remember what that game was. Or maybe it was a fever dream, now that I say it out loud.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember, though.
Yeah, but anyway, it'll come to me later. But so I'm, again, very excited about Andromeda. Finally, this isn't really a recipe. This is from Joseph Petruzziello, though. Because I made a quick call for, like, hey, if you've got summer drink recipes, that would be kind of fun.
Hmm.
And he says,
I like drinks.
Sure.
Drinks are good.
We all like booze. Yeah. And he says, I don't really have a cocktail recipe, but a beer recommendation, High Lie from Cigar City, kind of like an alcoholic grapefruit juice, which is better than it sounds.
Huh.
And that sounds pretty yummy. I'm not a grapefruit juice guy, really.
No, but I'll drink like a, what's the vodka, grapefruit juice, and salt.
Oh, like salty a Greyhound?
Dog? Yeah. Greyhound or a salty dog. Yeah. That's a good drink. Yeah.
Yeah. Greyhound was one. My grandfather liked a Greyhound now and again. Nice. So, and always, I don't think the drink is particularly good. It doesn't really suit my taste, but I love the name.
Yeah.
I wish I liked the drink more so I could order it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah. A lot of good cocktails out there to be had. Don't give up until you've tried them all.
Rusty Nail is another one I really like.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good drink name.
I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, keep saying names of drinks and I'll agree with pretty much every single one of them until you get to Dead Nazi and then it's just stupid.
What was it? Leap into an open grave?
Oh, nice.
I do believe my Redeemer liveth. Those are the drinks that Carla would make at Cheers.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great series, man. That's on Netflix still. If you have never seen Cheers for some reason, or if you did, it really holds up well if you go back and watch it again.
Yeah, I've watched two episodes from the first season of Cheers within the past week.
It's fucking great. Yeah. I went on a binge, man. I'm probably in like season 4 of that show. Like, and within the last, 6 months or so, year that I've watched that much of that series again. It's just great. It's like a good turn it on before you go to bed, watch a couple episodes, because it's,
cool. I just started watching Sliders again, and I am skeptical as to if that will actually hold up.
I watched season 1, episode 1 of The X-Files the other night.
I've watched that first episode of The X-Files probably 5 times.
It's fucking good.
Yeah, it's a really good pilot episode of a show. Yeah. It's fantastic, yeah. All right, so that endeth. Now that I've done the I do believe my Redeemer liveth, now I just want to speak like I'm in the movie The Witch. Which, by the way, is a really good movie. So, let's wrap her up. Before we do, Justin, what are you going to be playing between now and next time we chat?
Probably some more Arma 3, the Apex update, certainly more VR. There's a couple things coming out this week. That graffiti game hopefully will be coming out, so I will hopefully get my hands on that. I'm really looking forward to playing around with that one. Not too much past that at the moment.
All right. Johnny Dolan.
Doom. I'm hoping to have some time to finish the campaign on that, because what I really want to do is get into the snap map and play around and see if I can't make some fun shit that we can all get into and try that out. Cause when we tried that out the other night, just the two of us, that was super fun. And those were just like, we just kind of guessed and downloaded some stuff and they were great. So
yeah. And quick downloads too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. I also want to get in a little bit more of the latest Hitman level. Try out some of the different ways to go through that. And then I'm going to just keep my eye on GOG's summer sale. And I know the Steam summer sale is probably coming up within the next week or two here. It typically usually hits around June 20th, I believe. Historically.
Yeah, that's right.
So that shit is coming up. So there will be probably some purchases of things like Witcher 3 and other numerous games that I don't have time to play.
All right, I will be playing Ratchet & Clank, finishing that up, onto Uncharted 4, continuing with some Overwatch and probably some FTL in there, in all honesty. Also, real curious to check out the new Insomniac game for the Rift, which is called Edge of Reason or Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. I watched the video for that. That was really, really cool looking.
Yeah, and
it looked like Tomb Raider in VR, but you were like... There was a scene in the trailer where the dude was like climbing up a kind of a snowy mountain, very Tomb Raider like, but the guy playing it could like kind of step around and like look around the entire landscape. That was really cool looking.
Yeah.
Third-person games in VR sounds like a really interesting thing that I never thought. Like, I just didn't think that would be a thing that would work very well, but it seems really cool.
Yeah, I keep hearing good things about Chronos, which is a like a Zelda-like 3D, you know, more cartoony, of course, than Edge of Nowhere, but heard that it takes advantage of that stuff real well also. All right, so we will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, if you would, check us out on sdfgaming.com. There you will find this podcast and some upcoming reviews as I finish these games, God willing, and some videos and whatnot. Also, links to our Facebook page, the Twitters, and iTunes. And while you're on iTunes, if you would, leave us a review and rating, because that does help the exposure of the show, as well as you telling a friend if you enjoy the show. Am I leaving anything out, John? You're usually my...
This week's Shotcast was brought to you by Randy Newman.
Yes.
Yeah.
He fully endorsed the Shotcast, as far as I know.
Yeah, I may have to leave that in for the intro. All right, guys. We will see you then in 2 weeks. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.